Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show improve. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
You have reached the office of Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. At the tone, please speak slowly, leaving your name, date, and time of your call. I will return your call at the earliest convenience. If this is an emergency, please call the answering service, 301-206-1279. Thank you for your call.
Context of White Supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Tuesday, January 5th, 2016, so I have been told. I know many of our listeners, black people, victims of white supremacy around the world, are still dealing with the huge loss of Dr. Francis Cress Welsing this past weekend. I know a lot of people have reached out. She did so many programs here with us over the past several years, and lots of folks have reached out to offer their condolences. I can say for listeners, if you are in the Washington, D.C. area, or if you're in the Chicago area, I spoke with poet Danny Queen. He was a guest on the program in, I think, summer of 2015, and he invested years, decades of time and energy recording the lectures that Dr. Francis Cress Welsing gave the Welsing Institute over years at Howard University. He has amassed just an incredible archive of her teachings. But I spoke with him yesterday to get permission to play the audio that we're going to hear today. But also, while speaking with him, he informed me that there will be a memorial in Washington, D.C., and they're also going to have a memorial in Chicago. Dr. Welsing grew up in the Chicago area. I think she's talked about that on the program several times through the years. But they're supposed to have a memorial in both cities. And he, you know, just encouraged me to keep in touch, and he could give me the exact information. If folks want to go out to offer any thoughts, prayers, remembrances. I know people had also contacted me about being able to help the family, to support in any way they can with family members. And I encourage folks, you can just go to Mr. Danny Queen. You can go to his webpage. His contact information is there. His webpage is queenspalaceinc.com. So the address again, Queens, Q-U-E-E-N-S, palaceinc.com, Queens Palace poetdannyqueeninc.com. But poet Danny Queen, he will have more information, and he might even be able, if you would like to see what you can do to help, to contribute anything to Dr. Welsing's family, he might have some information on that. Certainly, if you're in the D.C. area and you go to the memorial, I'm sure that there will be people in attendance who can give you constructive information on how to go about doing that. But that's Chicago and D.C. They should have memorials upcoming. That said, poet Danny Queen, we have huge thanks to him. He is the reason that we'll be able to enjoy, study, learn from Dr. Welsing's final lecture that she gave just a few weeks ago, where she touched on a lot of things that I think are going to be significant issues moving forward into 2016. He has just a huge archive. He's in the process of cataloging everything so that there'll be dates and times for all the lectures and kind of some key points that she raised during those discussions, and it is available if folks would like to purchase some of that material. You can do so. Again, you can visit his webpage, queenspalaceinc.com. His contact information is there. You can let me know if you, you know, have difficulties or anything, but he should be able to help you out if you have specific dates or times where you would like lectures. I know I put in my request, and I'm hoping to get the lecture that she did. It was just a few days after Madiba, Nelson Mandela, transitioned in December of 2013. Some of our listeners were in attendance for that one, and I am really excited to hear that exchange, and hopefully I can share a little bit from that once I have it in hand. One of the ones I'm also looking forward to hearing is the one that she gave September 12th, 2005. That is approximately 10 days or so after the initial hit of Hurricane Katrina and the levee failure in New Orleans, Louisiana. We spent a lot of time talking about that with the 10-year anniversary. That is another one. I would be very interested in hearing what her thoughts were right in the immediacy of that event. And again, you know, once I'm able to get my hands, we'll see if we can share. Before we get to the audio, I just want to give out a big thanks. We had so many listeners over the years who volunteered. Dr. Frances Cress Welsing was not technologically advanced. She was not on Twitter every 5 minutes, and she didn't have a Facebook page and all of that. So it was a little more challenging to share information with Dr. Welsing, different reports and everything. She was just such a scholar in terms of being on top of the news and world events, reading the newspaper. I feel like pretty much every time that I called her, she was in the process of doing some study or watching the news, or since she was on her assignment, no vacations. But over the years, and I have to give credit to Dr. Kamal Kamban, whenever I spoke with him, whenever I do speak with him, he always is sharing books and information, articles, programs that he heard. Just every time I speak with him, life-saving information. But he would always say, after he spent like an hour telling me all this stuff and just great information, saying, "Hey, man, you are the young person here. You're supposed to be the one that's got all the energy and is going out and finding things and sharing information." And I really started to take it, because he would say it. He would be so generous with just sharing information, and still is, emailing information and what have you. And I really started to take that to heart, to say, yeah, I should be, you know, doing more to try to find information and making sure I have some things to share as well. And I would try to do that with Dr. Welsing, just trying to find things that, you know, maybe she hadn't seen and sending it her way. And I had so much help from just a host of listeners down through the years who faxed information. I don't have access, direct access to a fax machine. And there were folks out there who worked who either had a fax machine directly in their residence or had easier access than myself on their job or what have you, and would volunteer, no hesitation, to fax over information to Dr. Welsing, and would do so gleefully, just anything that they could do. And just want to offer a huge thanks to those folks for all of their efforts right up to December. In fact, I had a big smile. This lecture, Dr. Welsing would always give a handout to those in attendance at her lectures, and it would have different information, things she had written, her definition for racism, white supremacy, and then a lot of news articles, current events that were happening that just further substantiated the things that she was saying about racism, white supremacy, white people. Several of our listeners were in attendance for her final lecture last month, and one of them was gracious enough to make a PDF of the handout that Dr. Welsing put together. She emailed it to me, and I posted it on Facebook. It's in the COWS group. You can download it. You can view it online, but it's all the information. It's about 20 pages that she gave out at her final lecture, and if you look through it, I think there are about four or five different news articles. The last news article is the facts that I sent her about Dr. Doudna. This is the white woman who is credited with coming up with this CRISPR technology. It's a supposedly new gene editing technique. And I said that this white woman, she says she did a big article in the New York Times. They talked about this a lot over 2015, but the article begins, this is in May of 2015, the article begins where she said she grew up in Hawaii around all these non-white people, and because she had pale skin, pale white skin, blue eyes, and blonde hair, genetic recessive features, as Dr. Welsing would remind us, she felt like a freak, and that's the word that she used to describe herself. She felt like a freak being around all of these melanated non-white people. That's how she felt growing up, and that's what drove her to being a bookworm and a scientist and ultimately creating this gene editing technology. I was really looking forward to hearing Dr. Welsing give her views on all of this, but ran out of time. But that is included in the handout. I had a big smile because I sent that over to her just a few weeks ago. I was able to fax that to her, and we had talked about it on the phone when I spoke with her, one of the last times I spoke with her. At any rate, we will go ahead and get to the audio. Again, thanks to all the folks who helped fax those documents. Really appreciate you using your time, energy, resources to, help send information to Dr. Welsing. With that said, this is her final lecture at the Welsing Institute. This was recorded, presented on December 10th, 2015, at the Blackburn Center on the campus of Howard University. I would think Dr. Welsing would want us to have our thinking caps on, brain computers functioning at an optimal level, pay close attention, and hopefully we can hear something in the presentation that will help us solve the problem. That's it. Dr. Frances Kress Welsing, the Welsing Institute.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Kress Welsing Institute of Psychiatry and Social Research, our last lecture until 2016. Are there any people who have not been here before? Wonderful. Welcome. The Kress Welsing Institute is simply a series of lectures once a month, second Thursday of every month from September through June. The Institute is as old as I am. The Institute has been going on for more than 25 years and nonstop. The purpose is, I'm a general psychiatrist and child psychiatrist, and I am convinced that as black people, we cannot have mental health if we do not understand racism. Racism, I don't mean discrimination, or what other word we might use. But racism, understanding racism as a total system structure, that if we begin to understand at that level, I think that we can take 10 steps up in terms of our functioning and what we are dealing with. I saw an article in the papers, and the president was saying if we could just get beyond bigotry. Well, racism is not just bigotry. It's a total system structure that has a reason for existing. Many years ago when I was training in psychiatry here in Washington, D.C., I was seeing black patients and white patients, but I started wondering what was making black people mentally ill. And the training program that I was in, all of the people doing the training were white. And there were 2 out of maybe 12 people doing a residency in general psychiatry. They did not have an interest in black people's mental health. As a matter of fact, we were actually taught that black people did not have the intelligence to benefit from psychotherapy. That's 1963, that the best treatment for black people was medication. Now, that may sound way out, but tragically, that's where psychiatry is today. And if you are aware of the Supreme Court's thinking about affirmative action, where they haven't made a final ruling, that was supposed to come in the spring or the summer of 2016, but Justice Scalia, I believe, is supposed to have said something about, instead of talking about diversity in the law school classes, maybe black people need a lower level of schooling. Translate 2015 black president, and people are still talking about we are not genetically prepared. As I said, when I was training in psychiatry and I was wondering, well, what's making black people mentally ill? I'm a third-generation physician. My dad was a physician in Chicago. His father was a physician. And our training in my household was you don't get an education to escape your community. You get an education to bring back and help your community. So I was interested in if I was going to be a psychiatrist. And when I was in medical school, I thought psychiatry was crazy. I mean, we were taught Freudian psychoanalytic theory, and my brain said, that does not compute. So I was not at all interested in psychiatry, but somehow life has a way of putting you where you're supposed to be. And so I ended up doing a residency in psychiatry and then being interested specifically in mental health as far as black people are concerned. You know, you have to treat everybody. You treat white people, you treat all different colors of people. But I was interested specifically in what was happening with black people. So I'm looking for, since all the histories, take histories on patients and get a picture of what has happened in their lives. And in everybody's history, all the black people, there was racism right in the middle of the histories. Is there anybody in this room who thinks if I did a history on them that racism wouldn't be standing tall in their history? The very fact that we say we're black, and then there's some other people that are white, that's a statement about racism and about the reality of racism. So when I saw that there was always racism in the histories, and I said, I need to understand racism. I thought that I was a Marxist when I was an undergrad, and I tell people all the time, I went home one time, and, you know, family sitting around the table, and I said, I'm a Marxist. I might have been 17. And my grandmother said the more education they get, the dumber they get. So I had given up Marx by the time I got to medical school. And still, you know, Marx thought that racism was a result of class struggle in a way of exploiting people. And so it's one thing to be debating ideas when you're in college. It's another thing to be a doctor where you are responsible for what happens to people and what you tell them. So I was still looking for, well, what exactly is racism? And, you know, they say when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And how many of you are aware of the work of Neely Fuller? I know the students who, okay, everybody should be. Neely Fuller Jr., who is the author, short title, of the textbook for victims of racism, you can get his book. I think his website is justice.com or producingjustice.com. Just producejustice.com. Okay. So you can get his book. Do you have copies of his? You don't have any more. Oh, okay. Okay. So you can get it from producejustice.com. But I met Neely Fuller at a social event. There was a Black Power Committee meeting, and after the meeting, people were at somebody's apartment here in Northwest, and people were sitting around on the floor talking, and I hear this man on the other side of the room say, racism is a system. And it's like my brain, you know, light bulb goes off. Long story short, I started talking to Mr. Fuller. And I used to live in an apartment right across Georgia Avenue, 743 Fairmont Street, Northwest. And I started talking to Mr. Fuller. And I had another colleague in medicine. He was doing orthopedic surgery. And the three of us would sit up till 3 o'clock in the morning. That was a long time ago. You know, you can sit up and talk till 3 and then get up and go to work. That was a long, that was a long time ago. But we would talk about these ideas. And as I said, Mr. Fuller said that this thing that you are raising a question about, Dr. Welsing, is a system. Now repeat after me. Racism is a system.
Racism is a system.
See, that's quite different than saying racism is bigotry and hate. Do you see? And that the people just need to learn how to love. Note, he said it is a system. And that the system is about maintaining the power equation of white power over a relative non-white powerlessness. And he said the system, you know, some people say, well, the problem is education. And some other people say the problem is economics. Or some other people might say the problem is unemployment. Neely Fuller said the system covers all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. See, like a gentleman called me this week from Atlanta, never met him before, and he said as a black man, he wanted to talk about some issues he had in the area of sex. And what he mentioned is directly, he didn't say it, I'm just saying this understanding of what this is all about will help you understand what's going on in all these areas of activity. So Neely Fuller said, all of these areas of activity are a part of the system. So I raised the question, I said, well, why? See, like in medicine, this is always an important question, or in science. If this is true, why is it happening? What is causing this to happen? What is causing Justice Scalia in law to start talking about, you know, black people may need a kind of lower level a lower level where school is not too difficult because they can't handle. And whether or not race should be a consideration in maintaining certain laws. See, every single thing that we are concerned about, every single thing when you turn on the TV tomorrow morning that they will talk about, will all be related to racism, white supremacy as a system. Okay, Donald Trump. I say, meet your next president. See, all kind of people from the time he started talking. Oh, he's crazy. Oh, he's this. Oh, he won't. Oh, the American people won't accept something. Donald Trump has pulled the hood off of, the sheet off of, the cover off of the system of racism, white supremacy. See, he pulled it off, and he's talking with more clarity than anybody else who all the other candidates quietly are thinking about racism, but they're not talking overtly about it. But Donald Trump is talking. So like I said, Donald Trump's Trump card is the race card in the system of racism, white supremacy. Now the other thing that I want to say, it's for all of our organizations, NAACP, Urban League, National Action Network, all of the organizations, as long as they are not talking about racism, they're off the mark. They are off the mark. And there are reasons that they're not talking about racism. There are reasons that the president can't talk about racism. Because the people who tell him whether he can live or die have suggested the people who let people jump over the fence, let people in, uninvited to state dinners, the people that control whether he's protected or not protected, has said that this topic is off limits. See, now anytime there's something that people don't want you to talk about, you better look carefully at that topic. Now, fortunately, President Obama had an Attorney General, Eric Holder. And Attorney General Eric Holder said the most important thing that has been said in the Obama administration. Are we a nation of cowards being unable to talk about this? I called Reverend Sharpton's show one time. Hi, Dr. Wilson, how are you? Hi, Reverend Sharpton. I said, we need to talk about racism. And he said, I don't know why people don't want to talk about racism, Dr. Welsing. See, talk about anything else. But see, as a physician, all the things that are happening to us as black people, all the things that are happening in these different areas of activity are the symptoms of the problem being caused by this activity here. So in other words, we will always be complaining. You see, where do we want to talk about police brutality under law? or under war. See, we can complain and we can march. The police telling lies, the politicians in Chicago telling lies. See, all kind of lies. But if we don't say, well, what is causing all of this? Some people call it connecting the dots. See, not just looking at one dot and focusing on one dot. What was yesterday? The 150th anniversary of what? The Emancipation. I mean, they were down in the rotunda or where? Nancy Pelosi and, you know, celebrations and people clapping and, I mean, they should have said, no, we're not going to have that. We're not going to be celebrating 150 years since emancipation when the black people are talking about we're being shot dead in the street. So emancipation, had anybody seen emancipation? It must be over the horizon, over the rainbow. Where, oh, where is emancipation? See, that's what we ought to be saying, but we just keep marching, and I don't mean talking about marches, but we just keep walking and walking and walking, but we are required to think. 150 years since emancipation, and the Supreme Court justice is justifying why black people should not be admitted to the law school because they don't have what it takes. Maybe there's a little nursery school law school that they can attend. That's kind of more suited to what we're going to allow them to do anyway. So something, that means that something is wrong with our conceptualization about the problem. See, like I have a sister who's in Chicago, very sick in the hospital. And the big question, what is wrong? What, you know, in other words, she's having these symptoms. But the big question for the doctors to determine is, what is going on that is causing? See, not just the symptoms, but what is causing? And so this is where this question, why is this stuff happening? The New York Times editorial today. The Trump effect. See, this is what I'm doing with my money, buying newspapers like Dick Gregory. The Trump effect and how it spreads. It says we are on the brink under Trump. On the brink of fascism. New York Times, all the news that's fit to print, editorial 12/10/2015. I say fascism is end stage white supremacy. See, it's, I mean, just like in Nazi Germany. Fascism, system of racism, white supremacy, determined to survive. Now, the gentleman over there just brought me information. He said, Dr. Welsing, are you familiar with the British newspaper, The Guardian? I said, yes. He said, The Guardian had an article about ISIS. And that ISIS has a training manual. Is that what you said? A training manual that is to train all these ISIS terrorists. He said the training manual had a title. He said the title of the training manual is the ISIS Papers. Information coming in from student 1210-2015. Now, interestingly, when they came out with the title ISIS, guess who I wrote to? I wrote to President Obama. And I said, strange. It's strange, Mr. President, that the one book that people are talking about and buying is the ISIS Papers, The Keys to the Colors. I said, Isis is the name of an Egyptian goddess. So it's no way people who speak Arabic, it wouldn't enter their brains to name something Isis movement when people are cutting off people's heads. And beyond that, this is the ISIS flag. You know, this is black. My first paper, The Crest Theory, has a black circle and a white circle in the middle. So if you cut a triangle out, then you have the ISIS flag. So, class, haven't I been saying that? Now, some people probably, oh, she's just trying to tie. I know us, right? That's what I said some time ago. And now the training manual for so-called ISIS terrorists is the ISIS Papers. Welsing's book. And I said to the president, whether he ever read it or not, somebody got it, didn't come back. That I said, oh, then this would mean probably that somebody does something terroristic. And they will say, oh, we found a copy of Welsing's ISIS Papers in the backpack. Now, see, all this information about system and how do we have to understand the system. See, when I raise the question, why would people set up this kind of power equation dynamic on planet Earth? And I said, well, what do they talk about? They talk about genetics. And they talk about certain people having inferior genetics. And they talk about numbers. And they say that the people with color are minorities, and that black people are genetically inferior to the people who classify themselves as white. So I just brought to bear what you go to school for to learn. I said, but my reading and my understanding is that the black, brown, red, and yellow people are what? The majority on the planet. They're 9/10 of the people on the planet. And instead of black people being genetically impaired, black people are what class? Genetically dominant. Like President Obama, his mother's white, his father was black. Black is dominant. No way in the world that President Obama was going to come out white. The white is eclipsed because it is a genetic recessive trait. The black is dominant, so President Obama, you know, people, no, he's mixed race. Well, you let him try to get a cat. No. People who classify themselves as white and people who are in training behind them, no, don't pick up him. He's a colored guy. Even if the Secret Service, well, they probably will come out and stop a cab for him if he decides to leave the White House. But anyway, I said once I looked at these two facts and thought about our planet, the planet Earth, and with people who classify themselves as white, see, racism isn't just a word. Racism meaning white supremacy. Now, let me at this point, how many people are familiar with the book by T. Lothrop Stoddard? This is an old book. This came out in 1922.
What's the name of that?
Assignment class, everybody going by. The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. Yeah, the last page in the handout has a copy. But I don't know how many of you listen to Carl Nelson's radio show. Now, some people have called in, oh, she's talking about white people are superior. And white supremacy, and whites are not supreme. Somebody might say, maybe mom's, well, why am I having all these troubles as a colored person if white is not supreme? Meaning, do people who classify themselves as white dominate the planet?
Yes.
If anybody, you know, anybody has some space where they don't dominate, tell me I want to go and how do I get there? Do I have to get on an airplane or a boat? Who owns the airplanes and the boats? No, but this is a very important book. The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy first came out in 1922. He doesn't have any problem. He's almost like a Donald Trump in a way, but this is much more sophisticated than Trump. But talking clearly about the, you know, white domination has taken place. We have accomplished that. But we have to be aware that there are all these colored people. And we have to be aware if China should wake up. Well, China has wakened up. Now, he completely dismisses the Negro. You don't have to worry about the Negro is so far behind that you don't even need to worry or think about that. You see, but you do, we need to. We white people cannot, what, act like we don't have to have concerns. See, they're not spending all their time singing and dancing. No, they spend their time. They have a few people that sing and dance, but they got a whole lot of people who are 24/7 serious. See, serious, working in three shifts of serious people in all areas of people activity. How do we maintain our position? Now, he interestingly talks about that white is the highest advancement of people. But he says, but they're, you know, we're vulnerable in that if we mix with any of the people, we can kind of get lost. And we can't have that happen. Do you see? But I say read Stoddard's book, read Neely Fuller, and then read the ISIS papers. And you will see, this is why, what, how many years, 500 years, we've been dealing with this problem. And so when a problem has gone on 500 years and we're not making any dents, we are almost worse off than we were 50 years ago. 50 years ago, Black people were in black schools, and they were learning and reading. Not all these people flunking and not passing and not prepared. And they weren't closing all the schools. And they weren't putting black people out of the urban centers. See, but this is the advancement, in other words, a system structure, like if it wasn't a system of racism and people weren't worried about white genetic survival and people were consistently working towards justice and democracy, you would just be going straight forward up. But if it's a system for a particular purpose, the system is for maintaining the power equation of white over non-white under the conditions where the non-white people are majority and they're genetically dominant. Now, if they decide to let loose of this power equation, what will happen? See, let's say that Abraham Lincoln on the emancipation of the enslaved Africans, if he said, well, everybody is now going to be equal, we've won this war, and so it's time for us to all just get along. Don't focus on color. We're just going to be people. Now, what if that had happened here? What would have happened? Everybody's relating. Nobody's thinking about color. All the white people come off the plantations and they're going to openly have sex with the black people. The black people are going to have sex with the white people. And everybody is just going to be all Rodney King. Getting along. Class, what would have happened is because black is genetically dominant, and so you start mixing white plus all these colors, and the white will disappear. Now, when they were running the plantations, they were conducting genetic experiments. You don't think the white slave masters, well, let's say, I'm going to have relations with this lady, she's black, and let me see what the offspring is. Now I'm going to have relationships with this brown lady that I'm also responsible for making. Now this red one, so-called, and this yellow one, so-called. Now, aren't we ever going to get any white ones? So they were running this all the time and making observations, just like if they were breeding horses or breeding sheep or breeding cattle. What's the outcome? What horse do you put with what mare? What stallion with what mare? You see, and what did they call what we were being pushed to engage in? Breeding. Being a stud. So they were looking at outcomes, and they would see what would happen. White will disappear. White will disappear. So the black people coming behind that, when we got free, don't marry anybody darker than yourself. Isn't that right, y'all?
Yep.
See, we have to embrace ourselves. We have to come to terms with this dynamic so that we become the masters of it. So all of this is about preventing white genetic annihilation, ensuring white genetic survival. That's what this power equation is all about. Is there anybody in the room that think that white people don't care whether they disappear or not? See, white people care. See, a lot of people say, I have white friends, but they don't really ask their friends critical questions. See, most people are happy enough to just smile, be smiling. Oh, we always talk about our children. Are we talking about this? Ask white people, what do you all talk about when there's no black people around? Now, that's the last time you're going to go to lunch. See, what do white people talk about when there are no black people around? A white professor at American University. American University had an educational program for the prisoners, black people in prison at Lorton a long time ago. And I was invited to talk to the prisoners. I talked to the prisoners, all these black men. I talked about racism. Didn't change what I was saying. See, when you talk frankly in front of white people, sometimes that pushes them to be more truthful than they would customarily be because they're feeling a little bit embarrassed. You know, just like this, oh, Mr. Trump, oh, oh, oh. You don't want to try to cover him up because he's holding the mirror up to the white population, and they're screaming because they don't want the mirror. So this white professor, American University professor, said, Dr. Welsing, after I talked about racism at the prison, she said, Dr. Welsing, you know, I hate to admit this, but she said on all, she didn't say occasionally when I get together with conservative white people. She didn't say that. She said on all social occasions, when it's white people and there are no black people present, she said, we are talking negatively about black people. And she said, the assumption is that everybody present is in agreement. And I tell people, I didn't, you know, she was driving me back home. I didn't jump out of, let me out of this car. I didn't say that. I said, I understand. I said, you all were talking code about maintaining your system. And so is everybody out of their one-tenth? They're just saying, is everybody on board? And so all the company essentially says yes. Now, if somebody says, I'm not on board, then what will they say? Oh, we have a nigger lover amongst us. See, this is their terminology. Is that right? And this is the way they check each other. Now, somebody will say, Dr. Welsing, I really think that some of the stuff you're saying is antiquated. Because it's a lot of black men with white women now. Or white women with black men. You see, those are differences. She has to approach him. See how quiet it got? No, I say that the people who classify themselves as white, see, you can even look on TV now and look at a commercial and you see a black man and a white woman. And they may even be near the bed or on the bed. So somebody might say, well, doesn't that contradict what you're saying, Dr. Welsing? And I would say, no. That they have a campaign. See, you never see, hardly ever, a black man and a black woman. I mean, talking nicely together. Now, you might, you know, that's the black lady saying something to the black man. You all have seen those, right? See, but if it's a white lady and a white man, they're always speaking nicely to each other. And she might be saying, I can't get started in the morning until I have some Folgers in my cup. And she's got a white cup that she wants some dark chocolate coffee in it. No, but see, in other words, if you know what your game is, you know what your agenda has to be. You are not walking around, well, we got to get an agenda. That's us. Well, we got to meet and see if we can work out our agenda. No, people who know what their mission is, this is their mission. White genetic survival in all of these areas of activity bringing into play by any means necessary. That's what Stoddard gently talks about. I had looked at this book a long time ago, but something brought it to my attention. And I say, this has got to be required reading. Now, somebody said, you can download it on the internet. So I don't know. But this costs $20. See, they know what their issue is on the planet. What is our issue and our mission? Our mission is, can't we all just get along? Now that sounds okay in heaven. See, but in other words, to function and not be crazy, you've got to deal with reality. You've got to be able to assess reality. Like a critical mental health question, examine the patient. Are they oriented? Do they know who they are? Do they know where they are? And do they know what time it is? See, now that means, do we know that we are black people in a system of racism, white supremacy, and that we are the victims of that system? I ain't no victim. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. I mean, if somebody can decide whether you're going to be employed, they have determined your entire life. I mean, if I'm not employed, what happens to me? See, in other words, employment can determine sex life. Whether there will be compatibility. Is that true? You better believe it's true. See, this is what keeps the psychiatrist in business. This is what makes people call from Atlanta or Colorado. I tried to talk to some psychiatrists, but they didn't know anything about racism. Or they said I was paranoid. I need somebody to talk to somebody who understands what is going on here. Now, do you know what the Chief Justice in the Supreme Court said? The way to deal with racism is to not talk about it. See, that's what this decision that they're going to make about affirmative action. Why? Because the system, we've gone about as far as we can go with this black president guy. Now, if they think that we are going to go forward, now, he doesn't have much power, but he's there. He's there with a white, black wife in the White House. Black children, black grandmother, mother-in-law in the White House. We didn't name that idly for no reason. We could have called it the Black House. Black people helped build it initially. No, White House. Just like we could have made the Washington Monument black if we had wanted to. But no, white. System of white supremacy, White House, white Washington Monument. You ever look at the Washington Monument at night and see those little red eyes? Looks like a Klansman. Not an accident. So the system, Neely Fuller says, the system goes through four stages. Establishment. Maintenance. Expansion. And refinement. The refinement stage is do not call that nigger, nigger. Give him a white secretary, three white secretaries, but no power. See, this is basically what we have. And it's not an offense to President Obama. President Obama didn't study Neely Fuller's textbook. Although, I sent it to him. I did. I got a beautiful box. It looked like a leather volume, a leather-bound volume, gold engraving, and put Neely Fuller's book, put the Crest Theory, and the ISIS papers. I tried to help the brother. I don't know if he ever got it. Do you see? But the system, in other words, establishing the system, maintaining it, expanding it, and refining it. Give them some civil rights legislation. Give them a black president. But then we're going back to the basics. Mr. Trump, come on in. Do you understand? It can't, if it goes forward to the Rodney King position, where we're all just getting along, white will disappear. Now, I ask audiences of white people, do you want your children to be colored? Do you want your grandchildren to be colored? Do you want your great-grandchildren to be colored? Do you want your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren to be colored? I'm polite and they're polite. What do they say? No. So I say simply, if you mean that, then you've got to do certain specific things in economics, certain specific things in education, certain specific things in entertainment. There's a series that's coming out. What is it? The Man in the High Castle. And in the book is about, and it's going to be a video series. What if the Nazis had won the Second World War? See, I mean, in other words, they got their whole little thing all tied up and timed. And so then they had swastikas all on this, in the subway station in New York. You know, in other words, this is supposed to be build up to advertisement, not to upset anybody. But they got some complaints in New York, I'm sure, with all those Jewish people. If you look at, is it Fox News? No, what is it? I think it's Fox. Their background has changed. It's now red, black, and white. That's the colors of the Nazi flag. And then they've got some lines going between it. You see, almost like they want to make a swastika. See, they know where they are. While we're talking, can't we all just get along? Now, that would be nice. But that's not the game that's on the table. Yes.
So how do we, as black people, stabilize our mind when we're looking at this issue?
See, we stabilize our minds by dealing with reality. See, in other words, that's the same question as fire breaks out in the kitchen. How do I stabilize my mind? Right? If I don't want my mind to be stable, I can say, that's not really fire. Those are roses. Somehow roses have broken out on the stove. They don't smell like roses, but I want them to be roses. And so I burn up. If I recognize it's fire and I have a fire extinguisher, I can try to put it out. But if it gets big, then I got to call the red trucks. Call 911. It's a fire. A fire. See, that's one of the first lessons in reality that you teach children. This is hot. This will burn you. See, but what has happened to us, and we're going to have to face it, we have been stomped on so much. See, in other words, the people that the mindset for white genetic survival most fear are the black people. Because black people have the greatest genetic power to cause white genetic annihilation, which is why they say if you're black, you're back, brown, stick around, yellow, mellow, white, right. These are color codes for white genetic survival. The people who have the most powerful genetic material are the darkest people. And these are just all shades, genetic levels of the ability to produce the black pigment melanin. They fully understand exactly what they need to do. If their fear, white fear, see, and we always, in all the articles about black men being shot, what do they say? Black teenager does not have weapon. Big white man with guns, eight white men with guns. Maybe some of them have two guns and a taser. And I was afraid. Isn't that what they say?
Yep.
What are, so I had to shoot him 16 times. I was so afraid. What am I afraid of? Not man with glasses class. Diagram of male genitalia. Testicle, phallus. What is in the testicles? The genetic material. Now, if we just learned our history and stayed familiar with our history, right after emancipation, so-called, where the black people were off of the plantations and could walk around a little bit. Then they started, what? Chasing down black men, lynching, and castrating. Is that right? What is castrating? Cutting off the genitals and the testicles. See, white people would cut it off and take it home. Cut it off and eat it. Let me ask you all this. I was talking to one of my sisters last night. I said, what are the most expensive foods in the world? That's a question class. What are the most expensive foods in the world? Okay, he can get an A. That's one, right? Go, class. Truffles. Caviar, not oysters, and chocolate. Now, isn't this is the most important stuff that they can, you know, if you're really rich, you can buy some little black caviar, eggs, and take them in. What's the guy's name on the TV who's Morning Joe? Huh? Scarborough, okay. Now, do you know what is Joe?
Coffee.
And who is Joe? Black Joe. That's why Starbucks is a billionaire company. I got to be putting some of that black stuff in. I can't get started. If somebody were to say to Joe Scarborough, you're talking about taking in old black Joe. I remember in the Second World War, my dad was in the war. Why do you call it Joe? Dad said, it stands for old black Joe. See, that was the most important thing in the Army, your coffee. Morning Joe, you know, right? See, all of this stuff is connected. And this is why I was afraid, white fear. I was afraid of the black man. See, there's no history. There's no history on the planet of black men attacking white men's genitals. A patient in my office was telling me about, you know, when he was growing up, he had this friend. And the friend was, you know, a male friend. It's a white male friend, black male. And he would always, let me see. Please let me see. See, how many men in this room have had that kind of experience with, tell the truth and shame the devil. See, let me see. Now look at this. I'm saying that once you start talking about genetic survival, we're getting into the white supremacy mindset. You've got to understand what is in the white supremacy mindset. You cannot impose. See, we want to impose. Everybody wants to get along. That's not where they're coming from. See, they're coming from white genetic survival by any means necessary. Now, how do I assure my genetic survival? What exactly do I have to do? Well, maybe I can put the black man in a skirt. See, in other words, how would this answer my concern about my white genetic survival? I mean, haven't we run across recently black entertainer turned down a big sum of money? And he probably caught hell from all his friends. Man, you must be crazy. Put that dress on. But why put the black man in a dress? Years ago when I was teaching at the medical school, I had Neely Fuller lecture every Monday night from 8 till 1 o'clock in the morning. Every Monday. Not once a month. Every Monday. And Neely Fuller said that the system of racism was going to have the white man in a dress. Now, this is the early 70s, late 60s. And that sounded even crazy to me. Where is he coming from? Neely Fuller understands this system. He needs to have the Nobel Prize. If I can turn the black man into a woman, then I don't have to worry about white genetic annihilation. If I can turn him into a woman, then I can affect black genocide. Now, Bev Smith, you know her show on WOL? She had a white geneticist doctor last week, and he's talking about all the different kinds of genetic manipulation that they can do. And you know the male hormones that would make a male aggressive? Like sometimes it's a need to control that. Now, does that mean a vaccine? Do you all understand? See, we're having an epidemic of black male effeminization. This man is talking on her show, and when she raised a question getting close to race, she was saying, well, that's interesting. Then what? It's a little bit scary if people can start manipulating the genes. And so he kind of jumped away from that topic. See, in other words, what did at Morehouse, what did the president have to say? No high-heeled shoes, no skirts, no pocketbooks. See, in other words, I want us to move into neutral and act like we're Spock. Turn off the emotions and all getting upset. Just study the data. See, what does the data add up to? See, you can't even being a physician, you try talking to other black physicians about, well, we're seeing an epidemic. Little male children want to be females. See, they've covered the whole discussion about sex and gender like you're homophobic. No, to raise a question, why are we seeing this? What is this all about? Not that you dislike the people, but wait a minute, you're making observations. See, we make observations about each other. We have all kind of reasons why we hate each other, why we can't get along with each other. Do you see what I'm saying? Just all kinds of negative stuff. But we don't want to look at white. Why do we not want to look at white? Huh? Who said it? You don't have to take the exam. See, just think about, in other words, the system. The tiny white minority on the planet, once following Columbus, and they circumnavigated the planet and found out that the majority of the people on the planet were people of color. If the men had sex with the black women or the colored women, the children looked like the mothers, meaning they could disappear. So then they started thinking, wait a minute, we don't want to disappear. What do we have to do? And they concluded, first, we have to dominate everybody. Reed Stoddard. See, we have to get control of all of them. And then we have to maintain control. But see, one of the things that they really get an A for in religion. See, just take our case. They captured us, beat us, raped us. After that, just imagine that voyage. See, just imagine that voyage. Beat us, do anything they want to us. And then they gave us God, is white. I am white. And God is white. And I am God. Now you focus on me. Pray for me to love you. And if you don't love me, I will punish you. I will make your life hell. Don't think about going to hell. You'll be in hell. So I'm going to give them A+ for that. See, this was critical. You take people and imagine being tortured. Imagine being at Guantanamo Bay. And you're being beaten and tortured and all kind of things. And so you're just wishing that the people who are abusing you will stop. You're wishing that, okay, I hope they come in and change their attitude towards me. And so you always be, please treat me nice. Please love me. Please like me. Okay, I'm a nigger. I like being called nigger. Call me nigger more times. I'm going to start entertaining myself, calling myself a nigger. See, so this is what was done to us. See, and don't anybody get offended. I'm baptized Baptist, christened AME. Baptized under the water. See, but that doesn't matter. We have got a problem. What did the New York Times say? On the brink of fascism. Today's paper, on the brink of fascism. Hitler had the supreme fascist state. And what was he worried about in Europe and in Germany? He was worried about white genetic annihilation. What is everybody in Europe worried about now? Why genetic annihilation? All these people from Syria coming up in here. People from Iraq. And it's some of them from the other side of the Mediterranean, sure enough. Now, we let as many as we could drown, but there's still some. And they're coming up in here. It's an article in the New York Times today about a group of German people who were killing immigrants, darker people from Turkey. What's going on in France? The National Front. Marie Le Pen. And how many votes did they get? How many votes did Trump get? See, the whole world of white is dealing with the problem of white genetic annihilation. See, now when they start labeling the ISIS handout or manual, the ISIS papers, See, I might not have wanted to believe where they were coming from, but that's where they're coming from. And we really need to understand. See, I get the vibe, well, we don't know what to do. See, like, what are we supposed to do? I say the first thing that we're supposed to do. See, Trump has laid the race card out on the table. See, our civil rights groups, they didn't want to talk about race. Now the Supreme Court has said, no, you know, race, we're not going to deal with race. So they are ahead of us. We should have been talking about racism. Eric Holder said, are we cowards not to talk about racism? So now the Supreme Court hits us right square in the face. And Trump hits us. I'm glad he's out there. Maybe we will deal with reality. See, not waste any energy hating white people. See, that doesn't get us any place. We need to master an understanding of what it is they're doing and why, as opposed to please like me. See, I've got two cases, office cases, black male children going to college, getting a white girlfriend. She turns, they commit suicide or think about suicide. Do you all understand? Because where are we in relationship to each other? We hate each other. We hate ourselves. And we hate each other, unbeknownst to ourselves. See, how do I know we hate? Because we don't want to talk about the biggest thing that is hitting us. See, if you really like yourself, you are tuned into what is against my interest. What is against my interest of an enemy? Now, how do I know they're lying? Because they put ISIS papers on the manual. See, and anybody has any doubt about whether people lie in high places, just look at what the police officers say. How they cook up a lie anytime they want. I'm going to shoot and kill, and then we're going to cook up a lie. See, the man in Baltimore, who they were dragging any physician who knows any neurology, that brother's neck was broken before he was put in the van. That's why his body was completely limp. His legs were turned out. He couldn't stand. He had been injured before they put him in that van. So in other words, the language of the system of racism, white supremacy is lying. Just lies. See, whether they speak French, Greek, Latin, whatever, it's all lies, because you have to lie if you're going to be a tiny minority that is seeking to control an entire planet. So you have to pretend. That's why you see white ladies and little starving black children, and they're putting a little morsel of food. so they look like a good person. You see, after they bomb the land, destroy the land, give you Ebola, give you HIV, and then they come along and they want to look, I'm really a good person. My NGO, we're here to help. No, you want to help in the system of racism and white supremacy. Stop the system of racism and white supremacy. See, in the white assignment, oh, this is from before. Same lecture. So let's talk about what is to be done. See, I say, if we have this kind of picture in our mind, this is the white supremacy house. And it's being held up by these two pillars. And this pillar is white intention. See, this is the 1/10 white minority on the planet. And this side, if we say black or non-white, self-hate. See, in other words, the system said for us to run, have our system function, we can't have these people opposing us. See, what does Stoddard say? The rising tide of color against white world supremacy. So we've got to teach these people to hate themselves and to hate each other. So they're always squabbling with each other and fighting with each other. And that's what holds up our castle. So now studying this diagram, see, what we've been doing in the past is we've been begging them, please like us. And they say, we can only like you so far before we commit white genetic annihilation. We're not going to do that. So we can't like you really want to be liked. So the black people say, well, what are we supposed to do? Don't got no money. See, I say that if the black people understand how this was structured, teaching us to hate ourselves, so we will knock down and destroy each other to help hold up the castle. Now, what if we were to get wise and say, well, it looks like what we need to do here, we can make this column collapse by deciding that we are going to like ourselves. Respect ourselves first. Now the vibe is missing up in here. Do you see as though this is... I don't know how we're going to do that. I say this is key. If black people, see, in other words, all over the continent of Africa, black people are programmed to fight and kill each other. See, they're told that they have some so-called tribal differences that go way back. No, white supremacy starves them. They're so poor, living in the dirt. So white supremacy comes along and, I can give you a uniform and some guns, but you're going to have to be fighting these other people. And then I'll even make a movie called Beast of No Nation. Do you want, they can just do it to us 24/7. And then when they do Empire and Blackish, see, we don't even know when we're being demeaned and degraded. And the white people are looking at it and saying, look at that life unworthy of life. No, we're keeping it real. No, you are keeping it with what white supremacy made you into. And you have no insight about it. And they are saying life unworthy of life. Now, we're going to be moving them out of the urban centers just as quick as we can. Because the urban centers are going to be for creative, intelligent people and their dogs. So even if the black people, see, we start thinking, well, maybe if we call ourselves bitches and dogs, the white people will like us because white people's best friend is a dog. See, unbeknownst to us, I'm a bitch. Now, that's a female dog. I'm a dog, me and my walking dog. Let's say work out white supremacy. See, in other words, they're not scratching around wondering what is their agenda. They're not scratching around wondering what is our problem. Stoddard wrote about the problem in the 1920s. The rising tide of color against white world domination. And this is his warning book. Cannot be laying down on the job, not understanding what the issue is. See, we keep thinking that they're conservatives and liberals, and then, I'm a conservative myself. No, the white people, when they use that language, meaning I'm a conservative about white supremacy, I'm a liberal about white supremacy. And we have to keep them fooled, thinking that one of us is going to be their friend. And there, none of us are going to be their friend. But we're going to smile at them. They like smiling. The next thing they like is going to lunch. And then they like going to bed with us. Now, any people who are in bed with white people, don't raise your hands. The next time you're in the sex act, right in the middle. So, wait a minute. white people talk about when there's no black people around? The sex act will stop. See, because they're not revealing their survival code secrets. See, that's why a lot of so-called married interracial couples, they don't talk about race. That's off limits. Now, isn't that interesting? A patient in an interracial relationship said his little boy stands like a white man looking at him. See, this is the way little black children stand. White kids stand back on their legs. Do you, in other words, what? There's no hiding place. No hiding place. And the people who classify themselves as white, they say, now, we know about when the slave master was making children by black women. But those black women would tell the children that they are black. But now, our experience and experiments that we're conducting now, when the mother is white and the first breast in the baby's mouth is white, that baby will be, my man talks about it in here. Talks about the confusion of the mixed race in the system of white supremacy. Do you all see? Let's give the white people, because they don't sleep. See, they say our situation is serious. Nothing less than total seriousness about our situation. And that's where we need to be. See, we need to decide I was going to say, instead of looking for Santa Claus, look in the mirror and say, now I'm going to look at myself until I start liking myself just the way I am. See, I don't need to have See, think about that. What if we start liking ourselves just as we are? A patient told me, he said he was praying to the melanoid God. I said, I'll have to use that. The melanoid God. So pray to the melanoid God and say, God, help me to like myself. See, help me to like being black. See, help me to like being what you made me. Because then you might answer my prayers. See, but imagine us. We were made black, and white supremacy taught us we didn't want to be black. How come you didn't make me white? So I can see the creative force saying, how dare you call on me? You don't like the way I made you, and you don't even have a clue. When I gave you that black, you don't have a clue about what black can do. But the white people do. So they will say the most powerful thing in the universe is a black hole. And now they're out there looking for dark matter. And now they're looking, the physicists are looking for perfect black. See, we could get some clues about solar energy. They got those black cells, you can put them on your roof and convert that sunlight into electrical energy. Now, what if you knew how to do it with your black? See, just what if we could step into that space, you see, of appreciating ourselves? See, I say self-respect is more powerful than a nuclear weapon. All the things that we, see, just if we said, I didn't have any handout about the stops that Neely Fuller had, but there's those 10 stops. Stop name-calling one another. Stop gossiping about one another. Stop squabbling with one another. Stop cursing one another. Stop snitching on one another for reasons of personal gain. Stop being discourteous to one another. See, that, you know, the experience of going in a store and the black person behind the counter doesn't say, how can I help you? If they look up in the first 3 minutes, you're lucky. You see, but let a white person walk, oh, hi, how are you? See, now what if we broke through that? See, stop being discourteous to one another. Stop being disrespectful to one another. Stop stealing from one another. Stop robbing one another. Stop fighting one another and stop killing one another. See, imagine if black people said, no, we're going to work our, you know, counter-racist code. Don't have to join any organization, don't have to pay any tithes, don't have to pay any dues. And say, no, we're going to find a way to teach our young people. No, we don't fight and kill each other. See, the young people are not bad. They're just stressed out because there's no way that they can see for them to develop. See, they don't see a pathway. And while we thought we were all integrated up into white, we weren't making certain that there was a pathway for them because we were moving to the suburbs. You know, one of my patients just told me this week, living in the suburbs, the white people that live across the street, directly across the street, they don't speak. They don't want their little boy playing with my little boy. See, in other words, those people are codified. They're codified as to what the problem is. See, now instead of trying to convert them, respect them and understand them. See, if black people, you know, if black people said, no, look, don't take down that Confederate flag. That flag is a symbol of the system of racism, white supremacy. Leave that bad boy up. Now, you can change the system. But don't play with us talking about taking down some statue, some Confederate general. No, leave that statue up. See, if black people, imagine how, we thought we would just take it down. No, don't bother. Don't trouble yourself. Now, you want to do something? See, it's going to be increasing numbers of white people who want to hurt black people, sort of like Nazi Germany and the Jews. Now, if you're not a racist, what we want you to do, white friend, is to get out there and stop those other ones. You don't have to join our parade. See, if you're not a racist, then you go up against. We're going to stay home and watch. Practice our self-respect just in case you fail. Do you all understand what I'm saying? See, that's why the grandmothers in the old days, the grandmothers who would not tolerate foolishness, you know, you're acting up, and all they have to do is look your way, lift the eyebrow, and your behavior settled down. See, there was no such thing as hyperactive disorder. Grandmother's gaze would cool out anybody's hyperactivity. Do you all understand? See, if we just look seriously, and that's how come the white people, it's like if you got a job and you got a section of black people, and the black people are eating their chicken, throwing the bones on the floor, making a whole lot of noise. The white people are fine. But you go by the water cooler and got some quiet conversation. Is there something that I need to know about? Meaning they're not clowning, they're kind of talking quietly and seriously. See, and there's no black person in the group who's, no, let me tell you what we were talking about. We will have passed that stage. You see, but what? Deciding that we are going to respect ourselves, and there's no amount of money that they can pay us to trash ourselves. See, no, a young woman told me one time, I'll eat shit if they pay me enough. Wow. Just look at us on TV. See, any kind of clowning, buffoon act. And see, we think because they pay us to do it that they like it. No, they go when we are not around. Say life unworthy of life. They don't need no schools. They don't need housing. If we can get a big enough incinerator, that's where they're going. Trash goes in the incinerator. Now, see, if we understood that so that 2016, they'll be saying, something is wrong with our colored people. There's something different about them. They're not talking about they hate honkies. They don't engage in any kind of talk like that. There's something different about our coloreds. Seems like they know something. I wonder if they're getting some communication from out in space. See, in other words, if black people, there's a spiritual called just building me a home. Somebody may know it. Huh? Daddy, you know how to go, Daddy. Right.
I read that.
Huh? Okay. See, we're just building ourselves a home of self-respect. Because we're going to make this system fall down on its own. See, that's like the people who know, the engineers who know how buildings are structured. And you see them, you don't even, oh, they can't take down that big building? All they need to know is, where are the support columns? See, that's like you renovating a house. And they tell you, wait a minute, no, you can't take that down. That's holding up. You see, how was the house built? How was the structure built? It was built turning us into trash. See, a white person said, Dr. Welsing, look, you say that the white people are 1/10 and that you all are 9/10, you colored people on the planet. How is it that our 1/10 can control the 9/10? Say, it could be that you all are smarter. I said, but I don't think so. Some of you all think so, but I don't think so. I said, I don't think that's it. I think that you were able to figure out at the global level. See, Columbus, what, 1492? And he came out and started their little voyages around the planet. And when they realized, wait a minute, we're outnumbered. And they didn't know the science of genetics, but they would know what kind of products. You know, back in Jesus' time, they knew about color. See, Jesus was a real black dude. The Romans had come into Africa, crossed the Mediterranean, and when they start encountering a native population, they start raping the women and having sex. And so they were there a long time, so they made what? A mixed race group. That's what all the people in the Middle East. You see, a lighter color. But the white people said, but they're not white. So, okay, Rome came against Israel. And so the mix, you know, when you have mixing, you have people who are mixed and you have people who are basic. And so when the people started protesting Roman rule, here's this black dude, basic black, because these people, well, we can assimilate in here. We're light enough to be accepted, and some of us are going up in Europe. But Jesus probably was a black dude. Said, you know, we don't like the way you're treating us. So they said, well, we're going to have to crucify you. I mean, that's Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, George Jackson, any of those people, you know, who kept pressing forward. The Romans knew what they had to do with their conquered people. But I say Jesus was a real dark dude. Now, what's his name? Harry Reid, Senator Harry Reid. Now, remember what he said. He said, if Obama had been darker, he would never have been president. See, now the black people, oh, he's right. No, he's telling the truth. Under white supremacy. Are you all with me? Are white people more comfortable? See, nobody, don't worry about your color. It's not about you and your color. It's the system of white supremacy. That's why they're bringing in the Hispanics. we're going into the ovens and they're bringing in some lighter people. Bring in some Syrians. Do you see? Bring in some, in other words, we don't have to worry so much because these black people can really turn our colors around. I mean, does that make sense? I mean, read Norm Stamper's book, Breaking Rank. White police officer writes a book, probably the only book that says what white police officers are trained to think about black men. And they say the darker and the bigger. That's who they really go after. I mean, in other words, they're not acting on their own. They're system representatives. That's why the system protects them. They're not doing their own police brutality. No, I could be their psychiatrist. See, well, you know, my officer so-and-so, McConkey, this is how he was trained. This is how he was trained to kill these black men. I mean, what is that thing that they where they learn how to practice shooting? The target? That's not white. Huh? Is it black? It's a black target. Look at the gentleman who killed the people in Colorado Springs and the abortion clinic. My man killed 14 people. I think he killed 14.
In Colorado?
Colorado Springs.
Three.
He killed three. Oh.
San Bernardino.
Oh, at the meeting. Okay. But he wasn't hurt. That's my point. He didn't have a scratch on him. He killed all of those people. And the police didn't, he didn't have anything out of order. He didn't get 16 bullets. That's like, what, Darren Storm Roof, who killed the 9 black people in the church. He didn't get a scratch. And he was taken to get a hamburger. See, now, if they want to study the cases, if they just study, now, how is it that these white guys end up without a scratch? And they are armed. But the black men with no arms and no weapons get all of these bullets. See, now not studying that psyche. Study how come the black police officers are not killing white people. They know they better not, and they don't. Now, how is that? See, instead of, well, what do we need to teach the police about being nice to the community? No, what they need to talk about and what everybody needs to talk about is the system of racism, white supremacy. And what makes this system function? What is its imperative? White genetic survival by any means necessary. That's what the ball games are all about. Do this for the new people. The people who haven't been here before, this is a discussion of how ball games are related to racism, white supremacy. That's why they are important. Ball games next to shooting black people ball games are the most important some of the most important activity. Every season has a ball game that they focus on. What are the balls all about? I'm going to ask the new people. What are the two series of ball games in the white supremacy system? Who said that? Okay. No, there are two series. And we're looking at it, but if we don't think racism, white supremacy, we won't see it.
Big brown and small white.
Who said that? You knew because you read. Yeah, you weren't supposed to answer. But she knew, she read. Fine, okay. So the ball games are important because in a system that is worried about genetic survival, this is what is on their mind. If once you say to the brain computer, genetic survival, then this is where the genetic material is. Males are important because only men can impose sexual intercourse. So at the subconscious level, these games are produced by white people. And so they made two series of ball games, Big Brown and Small White. Just like there are two series of smoking objects. What are the two series of smoking objects? Big Brown and Small White. These are the balls, and these are the smoking objects. They're phallic symbols. So what are the big brown smoking objects? Cigars and pipes. What are the small white? Cigarettes. And what do the white people call the cigarettes?
Fags.
See, in other words, this is language that comes out of their brain computer. This is not Francis Wellsing's language. I just learned how to listen. So they call their own cigarettes that are representative of the white phallus fags compared to the big brown. When a white man has a son, does he pass out cigarettes?
No.
He gets the biggest, longest cigar that he can find and passes that out. I mean, I'm a real man. Okay, ball games. What are the big brown?
Football.
Basket. Bowling. Some people put the soccer because that's black and white, meaning it's black underneath the white, like a cigarette. Small white, marbles. Ping pong. Golf.
Baseball.
Tennis, right? See, now just the very fact that this is in their computer, this is their subconscious, that this is coming out of, showing how preoccupied they are with the whole idea of genetic survival and the issue of genetics. Where does the football go? Some white upright legs at the end of the field. Where does the basketball go? A white net. And the bowling ball knocks down those white pins, right? Soccer goes into a white net, right? What do white females say is their ideal mate?
Tall, dark.
Tall, dark. And handsome. So the big brown balls have white ladies in short skirts dancing. They're called cheerleaders. Black girls can't get on the squad hardly. And the audience is made up of mostly white males. Is that right?
Yes.
And they are looking on at this sexual symbolism. See, sometimes white men will ask a black man, come home with me, have sex with my white wife. I'm going to stand behind a curtain and watch. Has anybody heard of anything like that?
Yep.
Right. See, all of this stuff is playing out. Why would this be in the computer if it was not related to a troubling aspect of their reality from their point of view? Okay, golf. What game is played by the most powerful white men?
Golf.
How is that game played? Long stick between legs. Trying to hit the little white ball. Where? In a hole in black Mother Earth. Now, a white male asked me, Dr. Wilson, do you know what white men say? And I said, no, I don't. He said, white men say they're not men until they've had sexual relations with a black woman. And so that's what golf is all about. Little white ball going in a hole in black Mother Earth. And if you look at the lay of the golf course, it just clarifies what all of that is about. Now, the ball can get lost in the water. Right? It can get lost in a sand trap. Or it can get lost in the rough. Now, this is just about female genital anatomy. Are you all?
Yes.
Oh, and then the hole where it's supposed to go. So, in other words, what am I saying? Everything is racism. Everything is racism, white supremacy. And I do believe that black people can, if our behavior is transformed with understanding. See, like we have to have clarity about what we are dealing with. And if we have clarity and we transform our behavior so that the edifice is not standing. If non-white people wouldn't fight and kill each other, if that were to happen tomorrow morning, racism and white supremacy would be over. See, people in Nigeria have to be willing to kill each other. People in South Africa. People in Baltimore. People in Chicago. Black people have to be willing to kill each other. And if they, no, we don't do that anymore. White supremacy will collapse. But there has to be a discussion of what white supremacy is all about. See, instead of, it was a period where it was appropriate to talk about civil rights when we thought that if the laws could be changed, everything would be all right. But we've come through that and seen, well, wait a minute. They changed the laws and now they put the laws back. So just focusing on civil rights is not sufficient. That there has to be focusing on the entire system structure. And black people have to be willing to talk about it. If black people were just talking about system of racism, white supremacy in their homes, they don't have to be out on the podium. It's just like if black people had a new dance step. See, black people don't have any trouble learning the latest dance step, a new dance step. Everybody can learn. Now we have to have change the way of thinking and understanding what the problems are. See that, and then changing. We have to change the whole way that we think about sex. Now, why am I saying that? Anybody got a thought? Yes, sir.
Not about the sex. I was still going back.
Go ahead.
To the source of those thoughts of the games. Like, how did you kind of come up with that? I get it from you explaining it, but I don't understand. I think.
How did I come up
with? How do you get that to come to that conclusion? I don't think I would have ever thought that.
See, once you begin to understand the system. See, once I met Neely Fuller, and he's talking about the system, so you're not just thinking we're in a system of democracy or we're in a system of capitalism. See, those were former ways of formulating the problem. But he said we're in a system of racism, white supremacy that covers everything. See, that was a different way of thinking. And so then once you kind of change the channel in your brain about what you are looking at, then you begin to see things you didn't see before.
So with that said, as I'm trying to teach the kids, this is, her name is Sunshine, right?
Okay.
So we came in the house one day, and she has a doll, and it's Hello Kitty. She jokingly said that's white supremacy. So now, based on what you're saying with the system, if you tune to that, is it valid to put everything on that? Or that's what I'm trying to understand. Like, she jokingly said that, but there was some, the dog was white with a little color of red and blue on it. So it kind of fitted. She's the comedian of the group, so it's like, and that has, like,
no, you see, you give her a little reward. Because she's thinking. For example, when I was about 5 years old, I went into our pantry. And, you know, on the first shelf, the big deep shelf, there's a large box of Quaker Oats. Now, I'd been in Sunday school every Sunday. My grandfather was chairman of the deacon and trustee board at Olivet Baptist Church. So we were in Sunday school every Sunday. And so, you know, who Jesus is and what Jesus looks like. So I just, you know, went in the pantry one day and just looked up at this Quaker oat box with this pilgrim. And I just thought, oh, that must be God. That looks like Jesus' father. Now, I just made that little calculation. I didn't tell my parents. I mean, we would be eating oatmeal and now we thank him for the food. You see, and so in other words, like, children are putting things together, which is why they say, why? Meaning, tell me cause and effect. Don't just tell me a fact. Tell me why. So in other words, she's just thinking. And you say, oh, that's an interesting thought. See, now we could look at the word motherfucker. One day I came out of the clinic. See, everything, again, you have to have the background of dealing, of, we're talking about a system. This is different than how we were trained initially to think, system of democracy, system of capitalism. No, the system is racism, white supremacy. So I just thought one day I came out of the clinic, and some young black people were coming down the street, motherfucker, 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 motherfucker. And so I just said, oh, Lord, why are the children talking like this? And then I thought, for this word to be used with high frequency, there's a reason for it. And I said, okay. In the system of racism, white, just like the ball games, one day it was real quiet. And I said, why is it so quiet? See, when it's quiet, you can think. Mm-hmm. And then I said, oh, it's so quiet and you can think. And then I said, what's happening? And then I said, oh, ball games. Sunday ball games, quiet, everybody's at the TV. And so then I said, well, the ball games must have a significance that we are not accustomed to thinking about. Do you see what I'm saying? So that it's a different framework. And then if you give validity to that framework, meaning it has to match reality. See, we couldn't talk about white supremacy if we were dogging white people around. They had to come and ask us for jobs, you know, money, food. No, we go to ask them. So we, whether we like it or not, they are in the supreme position. And so I just said, why is this word being used? What does it mean? And so then my brain computer, see, if you just say, okay, MF, right? I said, under the system of racism, white supremacy, there are five people categories: man, woman, boy, girl, baby. Okay, in the system of racism, white supremacy, who is man?
The white man.
The white man. Is everybody with me, class? So any other male, because this is an isolating article, the white man. Not a white man, the white man. So any other male has four choices: woman, boy, girl, baby. Black men fought historically, don't call me no boy. See, they're black men in the grave. Say, you're not going to call me a boy. White man said, fine, you're dead. So then there are three choices: woman, girl, baby. I say, until recently, woman and girl were out. Baby. How many black women have called a black man baby in their time? Tell the truth and shame the devil. How many black men have called the woman they sleep with mama? Come on, gentlemen. Hey, mama, can I ride with you? Called a place where they sleep a crib. So the brain computer simply says, man who calls himself baby calls the woman he sleeps with mama. Calls the place where he sleeps a crib. Will call himself what? Come on, class. A motherfucker. Now, my mother's deceased. But my mother, retired Chicago public school teacher, she called up one day, Francis, I heard you said that word in public. And I said, Mama, what are you talking about? I don't know. You know. And I said, no, I really didn't know what she was talking about. And then she said, Maryland farmers. So I told my mother, I said, oh, you mean a motherfucker. I said, don't worry, Ma. That is a political expression. It is an expression about power. See, man who calls another man the man and calls himself baby, baby compared to man is what? Come on, powerless. Are you all with me? See, don't get offended. Put your emotions aside. It's like if you were studying what happened in a football game or a basketball game, and you're sitting in the squad room, what plays were made? You see, what plays needed to be made? Did we win or did we lose the game? studying it very objectively, like military science. You see, so that's what this is about. And so then I went further and I said, well, wait a minute, in a system where the black man will come across this symbolic expression to mean powerless, there must be another powerless image. Who is it? When the black, see, in, okay, we go to Africa. Human life began in Africa. Black people are the mothers and fathers of everybody. The white man wants to have sexual relations with a black woman to prove he's a man. But when he has sexual relations with a black woman, then he is proven to be genetically powerless. Compared to her. Do you see? Because he experiences genetic annihilation. And so then he seeks to impose powerlessness. I mean, it's all tied. Do you see what I'm saying? It's all tied together. But this language comes out of what the system is all about. See, it's just like playing billiards and pool. The same thing. Little white ball, long stick, all the balls are in a triangle, the colored balls, right? Long stick knocks all the colored balls under the table. At the end of the game, who's victorious? The white ball. See, so all of these are ways that they feed their reality into their play, but they're not doing it at a conscious level. But once you probe into what's going on at the subconscious level, then this becomes evidence for, you know, what you're saying is happening at the surface. Yes. Oh, yes.
I noticed that they have the African American History Museum sitting right there looking like a brown vagina, right beside the Washington Monument, and that they have four black female characters, Mary Jane, the character on How to Get Away with Murder, the female powerful character, Cookie, on Empire, and the black woman on Scandal, all having sex with white men.
Wow.
What is the movement there?
She's ready for graduate school. I mean, in other words, see, black people, we just deal with abstractions. We don't connect the dots. We don't, because we want to be incorporated into their thing. And so they will do the thinking and they are going to save us. So we don't have to think. Do you see what I'm saying? But no, this is fascinating what you're saying. Absolutely fascinating, because they play out what they see. The black movie star thinks, I'm a movie star. No, you're going to be playing a hoe.
Oh my God.
Halle Berry, you're going to play a hoe. Do you see, or you're going to be in some distorted relationship. See, now once we begin to understand, see, the Semites are the Jewish religion. They lost a third of their world population under Hitler. Hitler said, if you read his book, Mein Kampf, he said, I don't care about their religion. I'm killing them because they're not white. Now, see, we look at them and think they're white. Europe didn't think that they were white. See, this is because you are mixed race and you get lighter and lighter and lighter. Hitler was about white genetic survival, like the Europeans are white genetic survival, and we got all these colored people coming up in here. How can we get rid of them and how can we kill them? You see, so he said, I'm killing them because they're not white. I'm killing everybody who's not white. So no matter how light you look, I'm going to have you put a yellow star. Just like on the plantation, the mixed race people, they would refer to Thomas Jefferson, etc., as yellows. Do you see what I'm saying? And so that was what, in other words, we have, instead of let's join them, no, they're killing and destroying us. Let me respect myself and be determined to save myself. See, the Jewish people thought, well, we've got an Einstein and a Rubenstein and a Freud, and surely we're Germans. See, but German meant white. American means white. See, even it's fascinating, the word America contains the phrase, I am race. See, things are just like Jesus. In Ebonics, it's just us. See, while we're waiting on somebody, it's just us that we are waiting on, for us to get ourselves together. Yes, sir.
Okay. Dr. Kress, how do you feel about the movement that Trump is doing with all these black pastors, you know, joining his cause? They had a summit like a week ago where all of them where there were like 100 of them that did a meeting with him, and a couple of them endorsed him and whatnot. And
now, wait a minute. Talk a little bit louder. What are these?
Okay. He had 100 pastors.
Pastors.
Yeah. He had 100 of them in a meeting, and I think a few of them endorsed him. He tried to get them all to endorse him as a block, but there was some dissension there. But my thing is, you know, how do you feel about the whole thing? Do you see the church, you know, as far as the black church being used against us, or, you know, how should we look at this?
No, I don't have any problem with their going to talk with Trump. Do you see, it's a question of what were they going to say to him? See, and, I mean, that's like, what are black people saying to Hillary? We don't have a position that we're taking to Hillary.
Nope.
See, what is our game? Vote and hope. See, get out the vote, go and vote, and hope that somebody's going to like us. As opposed to, my position is, Hillary, to get my vote, you have to acknowledge the system of racism, white supremacy. Otherwise, don't ask me for my vote. Now, after you acknowledge it, then I can say, fine. What I want is unemployment. If the government has to be the employer of last resort, like Roosevelt, do you see, acknowledge that the black men are incarcerated because of the system of racism, white supremacy. See, if we went to Hillary or Trump or Bernie Sanders, anybody, and said, now this is our understanding of our situation. You see, we can talk about what's going on here. We can talk about what's going on in Haiti. We can talk about what's happening to the black people on the continent of Africa who are being destroyed with Ebola, HIV, and poverty and all that. We're not happy about that because we respect ourselves as black people. Now, if you want our vote, tell me what you're going to do about the things that are important to me. Now, see, if we were talking that way, Mr. Trump, By the way, you look like a blonde Hitler. But what do you have in mind? See, this is our situation as black people. We feel that we're under genocide watch. And, you know, anytime the men of a people are destroyed, then the people are being genocided. We want you to know that we do understand that about our situation and our set of circumstances. And what is it that you would have to do about these things that we've laid out? See, now, in other words, Hillary and Donald are people classified as white. And so if we say, well, the Republicans and the Democrats are just two wings of the racist and white supremacy party. Do you see? In other words, we're saying that and at the same time understanding if anything happens for us, it's going to be what we do for ourselves. See, because people who respect themselves will ultimately defend themselves. But people who don't have any respect for themselves will not have any courage. Do you see? You say, what we are talking about is replacing the system of racism, white supremacy with a system of justice. Now, justice means nobody is mistreated. Nobody is allowed to be mistreated. And those who need the most help get the most help. See, we're the parent people on the planet. And this is what we're about now. You see, we did think that we could assimilate and mix with you all, but we realized then you all would be genetically annihilated and you all are not going to have that. So we have tossed that aside. That was a faulty analysis, but it's okay. You move forward based on... We used this analysis, found out that this didn't work, so we set it aside. We don't have to attack ourselves. We were just mistaken. See, now, we were acting like that and talking like that, and then we were a quiet people. See, wait a minute, they're so quiet. Why are they so... You know, they're not yelling on the buses anymore. They don't make a lot of noise. Something must be going on with them. But they are the politest, most polite people. They're courteous. They're polite. Their behavior seems to be impeccable. Meaning they care about their conduct. We cannot get them to use the word nigger anymore. Now, we've tried. We've got this new play going. We were offering them, each actor, $10 million. But they would have to use the word nigger. They turned us down. And we got this rebellion going on, these black women who call themselves actresses. We can't get them interacting with these white men. And they say they will only interact with a black man if it's a respectful role. And some of the black men are talking like that too. Our system is in trouble. Yes.
How you doing, Dr. Wilson?
Hi.
Here's an article that I came across since, you know, a lot of things in the news are talking about gender manipulation. It says surgery could give men wounds of their own within 5 years. So within 5 years, they're going to be able to transplant uterus in men and allow them to have babies.
Well, see, again, the people who classify themselves as white are not happy with their appearance. Now, they've taught us to be unhappy about our appearance. Do you see? But they're very unhappy about their appearance. I think there's an article in the handout about a woman who was, white woman who was in Hawaii. And she said that being around the Hawaiian people and the Asian people, and she said she was tall and white and pale. She said she felt like a freak. And so then she started getting involved in genetic science. Okay, so I'm saying that, see, if you don't like yourself, you will degrade yourself. You see, you will degrade the act that produces you. See, if a people have a high level of respect for themselves, like some of those ancient cultures, India, Africa, they didn't demean and degrade sex because that was producing life. You see, but the white people, they don't like the way they look. We taught them that because we produce these mutations. See, this is the white people's beginning. This is an albino mutant in an African ethnic group. This is how white people got started. We put them out of Africa. And that's what the Genesis, book of Genesis, they ate the forbidden fruit. See, it's like now, if the doctor sees an abnormality at birth, that first thing, mother, what did you eat? See, that's how they were explaining. Ate the forbidden fruit, became ashamed of their nakedness, and were chased out of the Garden of Eden. And so you go straight north from the continent. You can either go around or you can go across the Mediterranean, and you're in those little countries of Europe, and they're smack into the germ people. Do you all get this? This word means disease. Right in the center of Europe. Germ man. Okay, and so then they end up engaging in mass murder. Do you see? So they don't, they're not happy. That's why they, okay, I can't suntan anymore without getting cancer. I'll put tattoos all over myself. And then the black people, monkey see, monkey do. Without monkey understanding, monkey already has color. So why does monkey need to put all these tattoos? Do you see? But we're going to graduate from that. But I said this to white people in New England. I said, you know, maybe we owe you all an apology as the first child abusers, because you all were mutants from us and we put you out. So I say, I'm going to apologize. Do you see? But we're not going to allow you to continue to mistreat us. Now, the proof that you consider us kin is that you like to be fed by Aunt Jemima. You called a black woman mammy. See, you like to be fed by Uncle Ben. I mean, these must be your relatives. I thought that the white people were going to get angry and upset. They said, just like little mice. See, so even if we were, look, you guys, we owe you an apology. We put you out. And see, this is the history of Rome. This is their own history of their civilization. Started by whom? Romulus and Remus. And what is Romulus and Remus? See, that's white people's story about the beginning of Western civilization. Romulus and Remus were suckling on a wolf. The wolf is a canine. The dog is a canine. And that's why they say the dog is their best friend. See, because we put them out. And so then they come around us with the dog. See, if we understand, and then we, okay, now how are we supposed to be thinking and behaving? See, if we just learn, we are going to behave like we have respect for ourselves. Black men and women are going to act like they have respect for themselves and each other. You see, we say this is our code. This is the way we're going to counter white supremacy. We're going to understand your system, just like a good football player has to understand the game and understand all the positions and be able to create modifications of positions relative to what the goal is. See, all of that is just strategy, tactics. So if we get ourselves on course. See, I don't have a doubt. I mean, it's a question of when, but I don't have a doubt that we will be able to do it. We will be able to do it if we make our minds up. I mean, we're the parent people. We're the white people's parents. But see, like a psychiatrist sees all the time, children can take over the house. Children can, you know, if the parents abdicate their role. Yes, Danny, I'm going to stop. Two more questions. See, parents can abdicate their role. They can misunderstand their role. They can think that they're equals of the children. And then the house is in chaos. See, you have to, who's in charge? Who's the parent? See, if we were just walking around and some white person starts talking to you on the airplane, you say, you know, I'm your parent. I don't recommend that if you're in the middle seat. You see, but in other words, even if a black person looked at white people and said, now, you know, this is fascinating. We're their parents. And they are now in charge of us. This is interesting. See, you don't have to be rude. No rudeness to white people. No disrespect. See, but if black people have their shield of self-respect, white people are going to go to Mars. Yes. Wait a minute. Two more.
Okay. Yes. Hi, Dr. Wellsing.
Hi.
Could you speak to us about the reported
context of white supremacy? Audio ended there. We didn't get in the last two questions, but we got pretty much all of the three-hour lecture that Dr. Francis Kress Wellsing conducted December 10th, 2015. Final presentation, or actually can't say final presentation, but Dr. Wellsing's last presentation at the Wellsing Institute that she conducted for years, decades, that she devoted her time and energy. And I know Josh Wickett, he's been a guest on this program before. He's written many constructive counter-racist reviews that are available online throughout the internet. He talked about, because he, at least for a number of years, he lived in the Washington, D.C. area, and he had gone to the Wellsing Institute many times. He said that once he went there and saw the amount of work, the amount of effort that Dr. Wellsing had to give of herself to conduct those lectures for decades. This was not just something that, you know, she had been doing for a few months or even for a few years, for decades doing this. He said that he just had a whole different level of respect for her dedication. And I would submit that effort and consistent effort, decades of effort, investing her time and energy. I think some of our listeners said this past weekend, I mean, we're not talking about someone who was struggling to get by. This is, you know, a third generation physician. She could have been doing other things with her time and energy, making funds, working on another book. No, she was investing her time and energy, doing everything that she could to share the insight she developed over the years with other Black people and for free, conducting these seminars. And again, the work, I think it was even at a period, I believe, somewhere within the 2013-2014 season that she was doing the lectures, or it might have even been the 2014-2015 period of when she was doing the lectures. But I know it was very recently that there was even some thought or some notion that she might not be able to even continue doing the lectures at Howard. And then that problem got resolved. But just phenomenal effort that she invested. And again, I'm just really thankful to be able to get the audio from the last lecture. And again, if you are interested in going back through the archives over the many, many years that Dr. Welsing did those lectures, you can contact Poet Danny Queen. Poet Danny Queen, his website is linked in the description for this program. You'll see it, Queen's Palace Inc., I-N-C, .com. Queen's Palace Inc., .com. And you can just send him an email. Let him know that, you know, you are interested in getting some of the audio recordings from the Welsing Institute, if you have specific dates. Again, what I try to think of is what was happening in the world at the time when she gave her lecture. Again, the ones that I wanted when Madiba passed away in December. One of our listeners was present at that one, and just incredible to me, from what I was told, that was an incredible exchange in talking about racism, white supremacy, and how it impacts victims, as well as the one from September 2005, right after Hurricane Katrina. That's one that I'm really eager to hear her thoughts as well. And then Mr. Fuller was there quite a few times also. Really quick, and then, you know, if folks have anything quickly that they would like to get in about the audio from the final lecture. Dr. Welsing, I know the many, many years that she was on this program, she consistently emphasized the importance of reading, 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 not sitting around watching television and the football game, who's going to be playing. Let's watch the Golden State Warriors, or the Super Bowl is coming up. Matter of fact, man, we did so many programs with her. We did multiple programs that simulcasted live with the Super Bowl. You can go back and hear many of them. And she weaves that right into her analysis of white supremacy, racism, and the significance of ball games. But she really, really stressed that. Read, read, read. And I know she encouraged, you heard it in the audio segment. She said one of the books that she's going to start telling people to make sure they read, Lothrop Stoddard, Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. She also recommended in the actual ISIS papers, Racial Matters, the FBI's Secret File on Black America from 1960 to 1972. She recommended that in the ISIS paper. She recommended on this program. And we actually had Dr. Kenneth O'Reilly, who is a white man, suspected racist. We had him on the program way back in 2009. Actually, he's been on the program twice, but we talked about that book specifically in April 2009, Racial Matters. I know she also highly recommended Einstein on Race and Racism, which was compiled by Fred Jerome, going over Albert Einstein and a lot of his very interesting commentary about racism, white supremacy. And she also, we talked about this one of the last times that we spoke on the phone, and she mentioned it in the audio segment. The Amazon series, Man in the High Castle, is based on a book written by Philip K. Dick. And I think folks who have heard Dr. Welsing over the years knows that she strongly encouraged black people, victims of racism, white supremacy, to study Nazi Germany and to think of how that applies to what is happening to black people right now, 2016. But this book, Man in the High Castle, as you heard her comment, it is a kind of sci-fi fictional retelling as if what would the world be like if the Nazis won World War II? And that's what this new series is about. It's based on this book that a white man wrote, Philip K. Dick. She, when I spoke with her, she said, wow, I'm going to get this book. I'm going to read it. Those would be four that I would encourage. Dr. Welsing would recommend that we read and study, look for constructive information. We'll see if we can get those four books in the study session. At least Lothrop Stoddard, Einstein on Race and Racism, Man in the High Castle. We'll see if we can get all three of those in the book club for the year 2016. I think Dr. Welsing would definitely want us to do that. Other quick comments I want to get in before I get to some of the folks who dialed in, if they have anything quick that they want to add. Very early in the lecture, where she stated, there is something wrong with our conceptualization of the problem. I put that in boldface print. I think that that is hugely a part of what is retarding our ability to work towards a solution. We just don't have the correct concept of what we mean when we say racism, what racism is, how it works, what it means to be white at the end of the day. I think that we just have a flawed understanding of those concepts, and consistently that's one of the reasons for this program, to try to add clarity there. That's one of the reasons that we had Dr. Welsing on the program 31 times. One of the other things that I thought was really important, as I said, this will not be the final Welsing Institute. They will be meeting. Poet Danny Queen said that next Thursday, that's the Welsing Institute was the second Thursday of every month, which will be January 14th for this month, January. January 14th, 7 p.m. at Howard University, the Blackburn Center. He said that folks will still be meeting in honor of Dr. Welsing, just to take time to share any thoughts, remembrances, to make it a memorial of sort, hopefully to share constructive information, because I think that's what Dr. Welsing would definitely want, applying her concepts and what she taught, applying that towards solving the problem. So people that are in the D.C. area, or if you, you know, would like to go just to give your tributes or share any thoughts and see some of the other people who probably invested a good bit of their time as well going to the lectures over the years. They will be meeting normal time next Thursday, January 14th, 7 p.m. Eastern, Howard University, the Blackburn Center. You can check that out. And again, you can just contact Poet Danny Queen if you need any additional information. Also wanted to make sure that I commented because I think a number of people have said they have observed people either online or on different platforms, I guess. I think Roland Martin on Monday, they had a short segment where they talked about Dr. Frances Cress Welsing and her theories, her ideas on white supremacy, racism. Some people agreed with them. Some people didn't. There have been other people writing reports and what have you. And people asked me, you know, what my thoughts on that would be. And I wrote on Facebook my comments. What I wrote specifically was, this is to be expected. There was a lot of that in terms of critiquing and fault finding with her work while she was alive. I asked Mr. Fuller about this, too. He said his comment would be, anyone who thinks Dr. Welsing, or he, for that matter, are nutty and don't know what they are talking about, fine. If you have a solution to the problem, he will gladly take a seat and have a nap. I wouldn't invest time and energy grappling with anyone about Dr. Welsing's work. Her dissidents should simply provide their report on racism and what should be done to solve the problem. If anything, I would hope maximum black self-respect is on display for all the people who value the time and energy Dr. Welsing invested. Courtesy even with Dr. Welsing's black detractors. That is what I wrote on Facebook. And I would heavily emphasize that, because from what I knew of Dr. Welsing and the programs that we did and many, many conversations over the year that were off air, that was something that she really felt was important in terms of making changes to our behavior and really moving away from having squabbles and bickering with other black people about racism, white supremacy, or I don't agree with your analysis, or I don't, you know, I disagree with how you are responding to racism. And she said, I know she told me many times that a part of her code was that she did not do panel discussions with other victims of racism. And she said the reason is, and I've heard Mr. Buller almost say the exact same thing verbatim. The reason is that frequently, a lot of times people get on these panels and everybody has an ego. And so you're trying to make points and score with the audience and put down other people. You don't know what you're talking about, that is pretty frequent. And she said, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't agree with my views, fine, step forward and present, you know, an accurate assessment of what the problem is. And if that gets it done, right on. And I think that's the correct approach. I would add this as well. Dr. Frances Kress Welsing, she was not hiding. She was not someone that was difficult to get in contact with. We did 6 programs with her. I didn't even have a phone at the time, or a computer for that matter. And we still did 6 programs. So my experience with her, she was not difficult to contact. If you didn't agree with her views, if you had questions about her theory, if something didn't make sense to you, there were ample opportunities to question her while she was alive, whether it was calling somebody else's radio program, calling her privately just to talk the matter over at the Welsing Institute. She always took questions. She traveled all over the world. Mr. Fuller emphasized that when I spoke with him yesterday, that on a weekly basis and for decades, she was on the go. She was here, there, all across the country, all across the world. Talking about the problem and giving her analysis of what racism, white supremacy is, how it works, and why white people are abusing and terrorizing black people in this manner, why they've been doing so many years. If you didn't take that opportunity to get clarification then, or to ask questions, or to raise your concerns if something didn't make sense, then, you know, I would say it's a little late. I am of the opinion, I don't think it is something that Dr. Welsing would endorse in terms of people feeling that they need to go out and attack anyone, any black people. Make sure I'm clear. I don't think she would endorse going out and feeling like you have to attack any black people who are discrediting her views or saying that they don't agree, or she, you know, what she was saying didn't make sense to them. I don't think she would co-sign on that. In fact, that's one thing I feel very confident saying. I know that's not something that she would endorse. She talked about it. I think I've heard her talk about it repeatedly, where black people attacked her and had nasty things to say about her. I never heard her retaliate or feel like she had to defend herself against anyone, any black person who had something nasty to say about her personally or her work. So I know she would not encourage that. And particularly when it gets to the point where, you know, it's kind of devolved into name calling and that sort of thing for people who are coming out to say that Dr. Welsing was wacky. She didn't know what she was talking about. I think Dr. Welsing, she always exhibited the highest levels of class, patience with other black people, and just being calm, reserved, in control of her emotions. And again, I cannot stress enough, I think that's what she would want us to emulate from what she tried to demonstrate on a constant basis. In fact, I will take out the word try. In my view, what she successfully demonstrated on a regular basis for decades, especially in dealing with other black people. That would be my thoughts on that. Final comment I'll get in on TuneIn, the Cows. Folks might be listening there right now. You can always listen to the Cows live on TuneIn.com. You can just search for white supremacy. We should pop up. You'll see our green logo for the Cows. But it has been adjusted. So 12 of her 31 visits are now in the Tune In rotation, so you can listen for hours. It's roughly about 40 hours of audio of Dr. Welsing, and those 12 include her 5 final visits to the Cows, all from 2015. That includes her commentary the day after, 24 hours after the Charleston Church Massacre, white supremacist assault, where she gave her immediate feedback on that, as well as some really other important commentary, in my opinion. But that's all on TuneIn. I couldn't put everything in there because it would take up days and days and days. Again, it took up approximately 40 hours, and that's not even half of the visits that she made to the program. So you can check that out. And I'm continuing to post the episodes from over the years. So it'll be all 31. So you'll be able to easily access them. You can download them, stream them online, share all that good stuff. Also, I attached the handout. Again, one of our listeners who was present for her final lecture last month, she always gave a handout with information. Some of it was her own views, her definition on white supremacy, and other things she had written down through the years. And then she would also include news reports, different things that she collected to just offer further insight on the system of racism, white supremacy. From that handout, it's on the Facebook page. I think I tweeted it as well. You can download it. You can stream it online. It's a PDF. It's about 20 pages. From that handout, she said, if trash comes out of your mouth, it means your brain is in the gutter. Dr. Frances Kress Welsing, that's from July 2014. That's in the handout that you can download. If folks have any quick comments that they would like to share from the audio, again, if I get the audio recordings, I'm super hopeful. If I get the ones that I wanted, I will try to share from that as well. I think particularly the one with Madiba, man, I'm super excited. Just to give you the teaser, I think, and this is directly from a listener, I think what transpired was she kind of opened and just asked people what their thoughts were on Madiba, Nelson Mandela, when he passed in 2013. And I was told there were a lot of people in attendance, victims of racism, who were saying, you know, basically, I think he was a sellout and, you know, he didn't do right by black people in South Africa. You know, he kowtowed to the whites and did what they want. He was an uncle, you know, Uncle Tom sellout, blah, blah, blah. And so Dr. Welsing said, interesting, you know, the tone that she has. And she said, do you think, you know, if you were placed in greater confinement for nearly 3 decades, do you think that that would impact your behavior, you know, your mental health? And I think the way that the listener described it, you know what Dr. Welsing, she's known for that. The vibe changed. Wait a minute. when that question asked, people had to kind of stop for a second and reassess. And then I think a black person stood up and said, I was in prison for 5 years and I felt like I was about to lose my mind. that kind of quieted down some of the bashing of Madiba after he had transitioned. But I am really eager to hear how all of that evolved in talking about what happened right after he passed away. Anywho, hope people got some constructive insight. And the folks who dialed in with the hand up, if you have anything that you would like to share, anything stood out, if you have a concise comment you want to share, your line should be open.
Greetings. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Before I get started with Dr. Welsing, and this is something you probably already know, you're Mr. Reed, but the website, you can get on it, but when you try to click on the call in to the show box on my computer, it shows you can't get this display, something like that. So I just wanted to mention that if anybody, you know, connected with repairing can fix that. Because sometimes, you know, I'll be walking around the inside of the house and want to have it amplified so I can hear the program, and that's what I was used to, but it no longer works, is what I'm saying. Dr. Welsing, yes, I just wanted to say that I actually physically met her a couple of times, and although external appearance is not the most important thing about a person, she always had this regal-like, stoic-like appearance at all times. In my opinion, she was she was tall, had this tall physical presence, and in turn, but at the same time, it was a calming type of presence that made anybody feel comfortable in conversation with her. As far as I think I've heard you say, by contacting her, and you actually played a copy of her recording in the beginning of the program, I believe. I think I heard it because it sounds very familiar to me, because I've called her on plenty of occasions, and that's what you get. And the first time it happened, I really couldn't believe it. I'm getting a phone call, and it's Dr. Francis Quest Welsing. You know, that's how I'm thinking. Dr. Francis Quest Welsing is actually calling me back. You know, a lot of times when you leave messages on people's voice recorder, you know, a lot of cases you don't hear from them, you know, in that way. You just have to catch them or something like that. But she actually calls you back on a routine basis. You know, and this is coming from somebody that I know from studying her and hearing her, that the dedication of years that she has actually dedicated herself to solving the problem of race of the white supremacy. I mean, it's recorded. This is recorded verbally and in writing a fact. And you know, it just shows you on how one can dedicate themselves. She wasn't just talking, she was doing as far as what she was saying was going to her feet and arms and brain, you know, seemingly on a daily basis, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis, you know, as far as I'm concerned. So it's like the perfect example for me, and I would say anybody else, as far as behavior for a victim of racist white supremacy. I agree with her quarter-fire response. If anybody has a problem, and I use it, I'm going to copy that, you know, more and more. If anybody got a problem with my understanding and version of the system of racist white supremacy, fine, go right ahead and give you whatever yours is, present it. And if it works, I'm right with you. I mean, you can't get more clear than that for me. Her voice level, which is also another example when conversing with white people and non-white people, never goes up or lower. It's the same steady, calm, but yet sincere tone. Even when you know that she's in a environment, a exchange environment that's very hostile, you still hear that same tone, where that person is like a very disciplined soldier against the system of racism, white supremacy, and I mean. It's all. You can actually teach lessons continuously based on the audio, visual, and written information that this lady has been doing over the course of 50 years or more. Since the early 1960s, and I didn't even know anything about Nellie Fuller Jr. Until after the fact, after reading the ISIS papers. I can keep on about it, but I'll just table it right now and listen to somebody else on what they have to say. Thank you.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Good evening, one and all. Thank you for the broadcast today. It really is helping me through the week. This is a particularly difficult week for me. I mean, other than Mr. Fuller and Dr. Ben and Amos Wilson, all of whom I met in person at various times, she is probably one of the most influential persons in my life outside of my physical family. So it's deeply impacting me this week. every day. So I just really appreciate hearing her last lecture. I was fortunate to have attended about 6 or 7 lectures at the Walsing Institute over the years. One of the things that I most appreciated about her is that she challenged me. I had spoken to her over the years over the phone a number of times, which is kind of interesting to me how there are so many so-called detractors who act as if she was inaccessible, because I know whenever I called her, she called me back or she picked up the phone. So I don't understand these detractors today. Like, why weren't they speaking to her while she was physically present? But one of the areas in which she challenged me is because I'm a writer and I write for a lot of other people, authors. I ghostwrite a lot of their material in the space of personal development. And the area in which she challenged me is like, how can I talk about personal development and not address the system of racism, white supremacy? And it really made me stop and pause and look at and examine a lot of the resources and material that I was creating. And just, it made me refocus and reapply myself and rededicate myself to what I want to do towards the liberation of the Black family, individually and collectively. She just really challenged me in so many areas. So I'm just continuously thankful for all that she did for me. I mean, I remember when I played what she said about my sister-in-law for my mother-in-law, and my mother-in-law just was like crying and like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And she's just done so much above and beyond. And, you know, and I don't want anyone to interpret this in the wrong way, but other than Marimba, I mean, Dr. Welsing was like kind of like that intellectual crush of mine that, you know, like, you know, I'm much, much younger than her and Marimba Ani, of course, but just they were like kind of like the ideal woman template for me, Black woman template for me. And I'm very fortunate and blessed that my wife has many of the qualities that both of them have. So, you know, I'm just continuously thankful for what she's done and the way in which she's challenged me. And hearing Mr. Fuller's response was comforting to me. It made me crack a smile and find some humor, even in a time that, you know, I feel a bit sad and melancholy. I'm able to refocus and, you know, stay on the assignment. So thank you.
For sure, for sure. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up that we haven't heard from, if you had anything you wanted to share, feel free.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus, and then everybody else. You know, Gus knows when I first, you know, her first heard the news of Dr. Welsing, I was thinking that, you know, 80 is too young to die, you know. But that was just kind of just a part of me, like, because what I do, I work, you know, just because my the healing side of me, you know, because, you know, like, that's part of my work, you know what I'm saying, is giving people, you know, and knowing about health and things like that. But I thought a little bit more about it, and, you know, this, and the Star Wars movie kind of made me think about it too, is that, you know, in Star Wars, the producers when the original came out basically was saying that, you know, he took a lot of his ideas from non-white people. And in Star Wars, you know, when the warrior dies, he becomes more powerful, or he or she, they become more powerful because they become one with the force, if you will, in that lore. And That's what I was thinking. I mean, and I knew this because you know, just from this, you know, I was taught this at a, I was taught that at a young age also. So, you know, we have a powerful ancestor that's basically speaking on our behalf, you know, pleading our case, arguing our case, and you know, I definitely want to remind people of that. Another thing, he was talking about whether, well, let me say, she was talking about the Washington Monument, and she was talking about the fact that, you know, they have swastikas in advertisement in New York for this new program that's coming out. You know, and she talks about the ball games. White people do these things on purpose. It's their propaganda. And I think that's something that we need to understand. And, you know, when you were saying about reading, I think we really, we all don't have a lot of time. So I hope people understand that you have to read, because a lot of things that Dr. Wilson talks about is citations. You're going to have to do the research and to fully understand what she's talking about, because she's talking about very deep things that's why through all these years and people that have heard her and know that she's basically on point, but you see they don't really change, you know what I'm saying, their behavior, their speech, and the whole nine. So I just want to recommend you guys read Big Minds. Don't waste, if you read it, I mean, you don't have time, and you read people that are small thinkers, small minds, you know, you're not going to really understand what she's saying. All of these ball games and things like that, white people do this stuff on purpose. It's a ritual type of thing for them. It builds them up. It builds the black, the white male races and the white female races. That's why these images, these ball games, and these types of things are so important in the system of racism, white supremacy. And we don't really have that, you know, we don't really have that, the counter to that, because we don't do rituals and we don't understand rituals and that build up counter races, black males and females. So I just think that once you start reading more and really study what Dr. Wilson talks about, take the citations and go further, you know, you're not going to change. It's just a fact of life. I mean, because the stuff is deep. It's not like lightweight things. It's really deep, and you have to really be studying and be on point to understand and really change your behavior. So I just wanted to say that, just because she was talking about whether black people can benefit from psychoanalysis. Are we intelligent enough? Man, that's not an old joke question. That's a big question. I don't want to say no, but I don't know if it's an intelligence thing. I don't know. It might be, you know what I'm saying? Because if you don't understand the psyche, you're not going to be able to make the necessary changes that you need to counter this, you know, counter this system, and you're gonna end up in some, you know, you're gonna end up hurt very, in your family, you're gonna end up going down, it's just gonna be one of those traps that you don't see, and this, you know, it's meant to kill you, basically. These things is meant to kill you, and you're gonna end up succumbing to one or another one of these traps. So I hope you just take it seriously. We do have a powerful ancestor that's speaking on our behalf. I mean, we're gonna have to do the work. And thank you, Gus, you know, for allowing us to even get, you know, talk to Dr. Wellsine and hear her. And thank you for letting me speak.
For sure. All the other folks who dialed in with a hand up, if we haven't heard from you yet, feel free.
Can I be heard?
Hello? May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. We'll get to Thomas in a second.
Oh, okay. Hello, everyone on the call. I just wanted to say thank you, Gus, for this call. I learned about Dr. Welsing when I was in college, and, you know, unfortunately, I did read that pseudoscientific BS comment, and it was a distraction from me really looking more into her work, because I have been a victim of racism, white supremacy, and their influencing my way of thinking and how I looked at black scholarship. But thankfully, you know, I continue to want to grow and learn. And I came back around to looking at her work and watching her YouTube videos and actually even getting to speak with her on a couple of occasions. And I just wanted to thank you all for hosting this, because it's, I've heard every call that she's done on here, except for maybe one or two. And it's been so impactful in helping me undo the self-hate, understanding racism, white supremacy, and just growing as a person. So I'm just grateful that I even knew about her this much thus far. And that's it.
Ashe, definitely appreciate that. And just being honest, I think Dr. Welsing would appreciate that too. Just being honest, tell the truth and shame the devil. She said that all the time, because we all, including her, we all victims of racism, white supremacy, and have been contaminated, impacted by this. That is one thing that I was thinking with regards to the admitted white supremacist known as Timothy Wise. That's one thing we can do. People are saying that they want to make sure to keep the spirit and the work and the name of Dr. Welsing, make sure that it's not forgotten and lost. Every time that he goes out, I think it would be grand if people could ask a question. I read a comment. I heard you on the radio program say, reference Dr. Francis Cress Welsing's work as pseudoscientific bullshit, like to keep that on him where he has to continue to answer questions about that and explain himself on a regular basis. I think that would be great counter-racist work on the part of people who kind of catch him and know when he goes out to speak and what have you. And Dr. Welsing addressed that a couple times on the program here, his comments. But absolutely, I think that's hugely important. And even what's happening right now, where a lot of victims who have, you know, nasty things to say about Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, I would not be surprised if racists directly or indirectly are behind that, encouraging that, so that it's coming from black people putting down her work, her time, her energy, and what she did with her life force. I would just, again, encourage maximum black self-respect, even maximum black self-respect and professionalism when questioning Timothy Wise or any other white person who might come out and make an effort to disparage the scholarship of Dr. Welsing. But definitely, definitely appreciate that commentary. Thomas in New York, were you going to speak with us as well?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Gus. Good evening to all. I just had a quick thought I wanted to share with everyone. You know, man, I wish that Dr. Welsing was a guest this evening, because I had a Welsing moment today. And I believe that someone wrote and persistently said that white people aren't fair genetic annihilation, and that they created a gun as the great equalizer to the black man's penis, that the gun shaped like the black man's penis, the clip area is equivalent to the male testicles, with the bullets ultimately being the equivalent of black men's genetic material. And that person was Dr. Welsing. And, you know, the black president today went on television and literally cried, you know, a sad day, in my opinion, in black history, to see the first and hopefully last black man to ever have the dishonor to serve as the highest administrator of white supremacy in the United States. He's been consistently criticized for 8 years for being weak, and the only thing he's probably been criticized more than that is being over his head. But see him crying on TV was sad. And crying over more laws, rules, codes, regulations added to the existing gun laws that are already exclude a huge percentage of black people to own weapons, he wants to change those. He even referenced the kids in Chicago, like the people shooting in the ghettos or getting them from gun shows and legally from stores. The Weldon moment in that was, you know, and what I would love to have asked her is to see him sitting there trying to essentially castrate white people by taking their guns away. I expect a lot of retaliation against black people for what he's doing. White men are not going to let themselves be castrated, especially from someone who can genetically annihilate them. And, you know, the woman of the year in 2015 happened to be a white man who wears a dress, wears heels, has nail hair, lashes, but he refuses to be castrated himself. And I expect for nothing but bad things to happen as a result of him trying to bypass Congress to pass laws to try to take away white people's guns. And, you know, then you see what happened in Oregon. And, I mean, how serious are you if you let that go down? Tape, like I expected. You know, I said it last show, Dr. Welding was a beacon of consistency, persistency, repetitiveness. You know, you kind of knew her answers. You knew her spew. She got into it, and she was excellent, eloquent. I love hearing it when you can hear the reaction from the crowds. It reminded me, like, of the old school 80 lectures, you know, that you see on YouTube, and they have that moment, and it's like, oh, they get it, you know. And she was just on point that day. Thank you for playing that, Gus. That's her last time at the Weldon Institute. And also, you played the voice message. I think Firefighter alluded to that. Excellently done. And I'll mute my line. Thank you, Gus.
Oh, for sure. For sure. One thing I would incur, and this is for myself first and foremost, but everybody, I think this works against the system of white supremacy, just striving for accuracy. Just the different reports that I've seen, what President Obama is talking about with an executive order with regards to gun purchases. I haven't seen anything where he's looking to take white people's guns. Most of what I've seen is changing the laws around background checks and where you can purchase in terms of going to a gun show, where have you, where they don't have to do a background check in order to sell you a firearm. I think that's what I've seen most of in terms of what he's trying to pass. I think there's some other components to it, but even with that, I haven't seen anything where he's trying to actively take guns away from anyone. And that's just one in terms of accuracy. Even if you don't agree with the policy, that's fine. But I think it's important in terms of how it's stated, because I think that's just total racist rhetoric. If it's stated that way, that President Obama is trying to take our guns, that's what they've been saying about everything, that, you know, the Negroes are trying to take our guns, they're trying to take our jobs, they're trying to take our country. And I just haven't seen anything where he's trying to actively confiscate weapons from anyone, just in terms of changing to make it so that you do have to get a background check if you're going to purchase a firearm, just in the interest of being accurate, unless somebody has information that I missed out on, which totally could be the case, where a component of it is actually confiscating weapons. Does anybody have that information?
No, you're absolutely right. What I was alluding to, and I probably should have said it, was the way the white people are responding to what he's doing. I watched a little bit of the news today, and their response is he's trying to take our guns. And we're not going to stand for this. We're going to do something about this. That was what I got from it. I probably should have alluded. White people felt that way, as opposed to saying that was the policy he was pushing.
Right on, right on. Like, I'm trying to make sure I'm doing well about that as well, just in terms of being accurate. But in my view, I think just making sure we state it accurately, even if we disagree with what he's doing, because that, I think, plays totally into racist hands. And they had a different segment today, where they had a white guy and he was doing gunshot. I probably played on the compensatory call in this Saturday, but he said, President Obama is the best advertisement for purchasing guns ever. Pretty much every time that he comes out and does this, gun sales
skyrocket. And he said it happened again, which to me just shows the fallacy of them saying he's taking guns. If every time he comes out and says anything, white people just go and buy more guns. Like now, instead of 100 guns, I have 110 guns because this Negro came out and said something, which, you know, as I said, it, to me, it just shows the fallacy that this is just more racist lies. And in my view, I think you even said this before, and I've said this for years, them using President Obama, he wouldn't be there if the most powerful racist didn't want him there, using him to stir up more racist animosity against non-white people, black people. It's just total white supremacist rhetoric when they say that. And they know it's not true. This happens, if they can predict it. This is what's going to happen when he comes out and says anything about quote unquote gun control. Any of the folks that we have not heard from who had a hand up, did you have any commentary you want to make sure you got in?
Can I be heard?
You're a little low. If you could speak up, that would be good.
Can I be heard?
That is better.
All right. All right. Peace to Gus and all the colored callers on the line. Yeah, I enjoyed the audio. You know, I felt like I was in the room. The one thing I liked the most about Dr. Cresswell's and was that she made me think. And, you know, it was a point in time where I may have felt like it was strange to be a person who thought all the time. You know, I would find myself thinking before I was going on my journey or whatever, just growing up. And I would feel like maybe this was weird based upon what everybody else around me was doing, you know, the fact that maybe I thought about things too much or, you know, sometimes, not saying I made all the right decisions, but the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, I feel that her work and the way that she went about doing her work and the content that, you know, she gives, you know, it just correlated with her job of being a psychiatrist and a behavioral scientist and, you know, how that helps people from the inside and explain things why. And also, you know, I'm interested in seeing this picture from knowing how to see the picture from the first essay that she compared possibly to the alleged terrorist group ISIS flag. I'm interested in seeing that. And, you know, I just think that she did a lot of great work, and this was definitely a place that we could talk to her and get her insight. And she just clarified so much, and I wish she was here to speak about what's going on with in Oregon, because this is definitely how the system of racism, white supremacy, I would call it sophisticated terrorism, expresses itself, because, you know, it's the same old rhetoric arguments, you know, from him like you get from the devil. So, you know, that's all I wanted to add. And I wanted to ask, how can we see that picture or that first cover?
I will have to check to see if there's already an image of this cover online. If that is not the case, I can, I guess I would have to scan what she sent to me. I can either scan it or see if I can get a really good picture of it and then just upload it and do it that way. But if it's not already available online, I'll see about uploading what she sent to me, and then folks can check it out. But I definitely think she would want people to kind of keep that in mind as we proceed and they continue to do all of this hand-wringing about ISIS, the group known as ISIS. I'll check. We'll see if we can get it done one way or the other. If I have to get my copy scanned, or if I can find a copy that's already online.
Yeah, and I just want to make one more observation that, you know, despite how I felt about things, I just truly on the inside didn't genuinely feel like Dr. Frances Cresswell's and under the system of racism, white supremacy, not denoting that it wasn't no natural causes or that that's not out of the question. But I'm kind of torn on whether or not this was something that happened naturally
or was this some type of, you know, slick attack on a leader figure in a particular community, taking into consideration the things going on with ISIS, taking into consideration the correlation between the book title and all of these particular things, and how she led us and made us think, and, you know, just, you know, me personally, I keep that in mind, and I wish I had a Bureau of Investigation, and I wish we had more resources to have been able to monitor, not, you know, if any foul play took place, you know, and we weren't able to, because we out of position as a people, we wasn't able to monitor one of our elders or, you know, one of our own people when it comes to is this happening, is this not happening, is there a second opinion? And I think that plays an important role with denying areas, economic education, and so on, where that we have to take these things into our own hands and police and govern our own people, health care, all of these particular things. So when things happen, we can be reassured and know that, hey, this was natural. This is what happened. You don't have to worry. You know, we did everything we could. It was time. The Lord called this person home. But if it's anything else based upon the system of white supremacy, sophisticated terrorism, then I bring that into question and consideration.
Other people expressed similar suspicion about her demise, definitely warranted under the system of white supremacy. Did anybody who has a hand up that we have not heard from have a comment they want to make sure they got in? Did we get everybody? Right on. I would assume we nabbed everybody who had a comment that they wanted to make sure that they got in. Again, I will make an effort, or I'm not make an effort, it's just 31 is a lot, to continue posting to make sure it's easily accessible, because I know some people it's difficult to try to sift through and find all the different visits that she did on the program. So I will continue posting them, and you can share if you think it would be constructive. Folks are looking to hear some of the audio recordings that she did down through the years. I'll continue to post them on Facebook and tweet them out. We're on Twitter at Until Justice, at Until Justice. But I will continue to do that. I think we're up to 7 right now, and I'll post them, and I'll include this one as well so that people can share the last lecture that she did from the Welsing Institute. And I will also be sure to include the link for the handout, again, that you can download. And it's got several different articles that she thought were important, recent material, things that were just in the paper within the last 30 days or so. There are a few that are a little bit older, but she has a lot of stuff that was pretty current at the time that she did the lecture that she thought it would be good for her students to check out, as well as, I said, some of her writings, her definition for racism, white supremacy, and just different observations, food for thought, if you will, things to go in the brain computer to continue, nourish, strengthen black thought. Again, just from what I have seen over the last few days, and certainly not everybody, I think there have been a lot of people who have just, like a lot of the folks who've dialed in here at the COWS, who just expressed tremendous gratification and how Dr. Welsing touched them personally. They got to meet her, or talk with her on the phone, or they got to go to some of the institutes and hear her speak directly. Again, I know it can be personally frustrating, particularly at a time when, you know, it's a painful loss and it's so sudden and so recent that a lot of us are still just going through the trauma and the normal human grieving process. But again, from what I know of Dr. Welsing, she would really want maximum black self-respect on display at all times. And even the people that are detracting and criticizing her work now that she's gone, even maximum black self-respect in dealing with the black people who might be unfortunately engaged in that. Because I have seen some people who've been on the attack and you know, I can't believe no good Kuhn is saying this about Dr. Welsing, and just from the years of listening to her and studying her, I'm very confident in saying that that is not something that she would want to see us doing. If anything, I think she would want black self-respect in terms of just handling ourselves with the same dignity, class that she demonstrated every time that I saw her, every time that I heard her. I think she did more than an adequate job defending and explaining, articulating her views and beliefs on racism for decades while she was here. I think her work is more than qualified to stand on its own without anyone feeling like they have to come out and defend her and be on the attack against any other victim of racism who doesn't agree with her assessment. At the end of the day, I think she would want us to solve the problem. And if you get something from the many talks and her writing and what she left us, man, use it to solve the problem and demonstrate maximum black self-respect while doing so. And in fact, black self-respect being a key aspect of how we're going to solve this problem. Again, there should be memorials in Washington, D.C. and Chicago, Illinois. When I get the exact dates and times, I will share those. I'll post that information online and I'll share it on the program. We should be back on the air Thursday, but as soon as I find out, I will let folks know. And again, for people that are in the DC area, the Welsing Institute, they will be meeting next Thursday. That would be January 14th at the Blackburn Center on the campus of Howard University, the same time, 7 p.m. Eastern, free and open to the public. Poet Danny Queen already said people would be meeting to just share their thoughts, exchange constructive information. The multitudes of students that she touched and worked with over the year, if you're in the D.C. area, I think that would be great. You can go pay your respects and maybe even network, use some of that information, all of those different black people that are maybe hopefully a little bit less confused about racism, white supremacy, to continue and build and maybe even continue the Institute to move forward. You already have people that should be in a habit of getting there and meeting every Thursday to see if folks can continue that effort to share information towards problem solving. With that, we should be here Thursday evening. We should have a white man, racist suspect, on the program. He wrote a book, which is a Welsing title in and of itself. I think I have the book with me here, so I can give you the name if you want to do any research. Jim Grimsley, that's his name, Jim Grimsley, and his book, How I Shed My Skin. This is a white man, and the subtitle is Unlearning the Racist Lessons of a Southern Childhood. That's the white man. One of our investors recommended that we have him on the program. He should be here Thursday evening, normal broadcast time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. He's done quite a few interviews recently. If you want to check it out, be prepared to have a white person in the building. Dr. Welsing would want us to sharpen our swords and be ready with our codified questions to question a suspected race soldier. These are the folks that are causing the problem. And that's something that I also think she did an exemplary job of asking questions and getting white people to reveal truth just with the use of words. But that is Thursday. We'll be looking forward. Mr. Jim Jim Grimsley visiting us Thursday evening. With that, folks, if you have any problems, concerns, I thank you, caller in Florida, retired firefighter. We'll see if we can get on what the problem is on the Black Talk Radio site to make sure we get that corrected moving forward. So it'll be working out by Thursday evening. But if you have any other questions, problems, if you can't find something in the archives or you have a guest suggestion, just drop us an email, untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com. And I will get back to you with any information I have. I know someone had asked during the broadcast if I had any information about when Dr. Welsing, when she will be laid to rest and the final arrangements and all that. I don't have any of that detail, any of those details. And just to remind, I'm like thousands of miles away from D.C. and even thousands of miles away from Chicago. So I'm not, you know, in the immediate environment where people are making those decisions and closer to where her family is and where folks who will be in charge of setting all that up. But I am trying to make an effort to stay in contact with folks who are. And as I find out, I'll share. I've been trying to keep information posted on my Facebook page and Twitter, the Cows groups and all that. So as soon as I find out any of that information, I will share and let you know. Hopefully I'll be a bit more informed by Thursday evening. With that, thanks again. I hope folks got some constructive info. It was great to hear her final lecture. And as I said, if I get my hands on other audio recordings from the Institute, I will try to share. And you can do the same. You can just contact poet Danny Queen yourself. Go to his website, queenspalaceinc.com, and just shoot him an email and let him know that you'd like to purchase some of her archived lectures from the Institute over the years, and I'm sure he would be glad to help you out. Queens Palace, Inc. With that, we will fundraise for the beginning of the year just because I'm trying to get the war chest in order. I said at the end of 2015 that I thought it was going to be a really ugly year, and Mr. Fuller confirmed just everything looks that way. So I want to make sure that our war chest is in better condition as we move forward for what looks like it is going to be a nasty set of 12 months, particularly with it being an election year. Invest if you think the program is constructive. racism-notes.blogspot.com. racism-notes.blogspot.com. Listener supported counter racist radio. The PayPal button, it's at the top of the blog, right side of the page. If you're not into PayPal, feel free to drop us an email and we will get you a physical mailing address. Huge thanks to all the folks who have invested down through the years and kept us on the air. I hope the program has been and continues to be worthy of your time and energy. Fundraising for the beginning of 2016 and just hoping to kind of get prepared for what looks like it is going to be a very unpleasant year, 2016. With that, thanks again to all the folks who chimed in. I hope, you know, the program was helpful for folks being able to hear Dr. Welsing's voice again. And again, we have so much material. She did so much material. We'll definitely be going back and listening to and learning from all the great teachings that she left us. And we'll be doing those books. As I said, she recommended them. We'll be looking to knock some of those down this calendar year. Thanks all again. Again, I encourage sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. We already have racists engaged in warfare against us in all areas of people activity. We want to do everything we can and make sure that we can consistently make the best possible decisions to keep ourselves as safe as possible and anyone that we might be responsible for. Certainly, if you're going to be behind the wheel, driver, passenger, even pedestrian, you do not want to be inebriated where you can't think clearly. You never know when it could be Daniel Holtzclaw, Daniel Wilson that you bump into. You just want to make sure that you can make great decisions to keep yourself out of harm's way as best possible. I always discourage being in presence of intoxicated whites and even intoxicated victims. It's just an environment rife with conflict, and we already got enough problems as victims of white supremacy. That being said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Maximum black self-respect on display at all times, in all places, each and every time we're in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cows, signing out.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.